This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's just a couple minutes after 7 o'clock here in the Valley of the Sun. That'd be Phoenix, Arizona, which is where we are coming to you live, as we do every Tuesday night. It's Studio C. It's the show. It's Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Marnie Ryer and Kat Carlson and Al Perkins. There's a bottle of Windex hidden somewhere in the room. We have coffee.
Put some Windex on it.
Just in case.
And I want to let you know, Marnie, who is normally, as you, if you're a regular viewer or listener
to
the show,
time.
She's usually a few minutes tardy, and she just learned that we have on hold music before the show because she was here oddly early today, so she got to hear the whole thing. This is how the show comes together.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, no,
you do a smashing job.
You know, I don't care how old the student is. It's always just miraculous to watch somebody learn something. Discover something. That light in their eyes
got bright. Big.
It is. Oh, yeah. Big eyes. Big bright.
Eyes.
Yeah. It's like
turn around, bright eyes.
It's like I don't like to rehearse any of this
every
show.
Every now and again.
We don't like to rehearse the show because we want to be as surprised as everybody else.
I understand completely.
And it works.
And
week
it worked.
After week.
Oh my God.
Week after week, minute after minute.
It was good.
Oh my heavens. What are you drawing over there, Kat?
Well, I was writing myself a note. So
I
have a lovely, wonderful device, and I don't use it in any of its neat capacity most
called
of the
rabbit.
Time.
Mine's called a brain. I don't use it in its full capacity either.
Right. No, I use my brain a fair amount, I feel like.
Show off.
I know.
Overachiever.
It comes up now and again.
All right, whatever.
But the Microsoft Surface that I carry has a lot of keyboard-free functionality that I don't ever use. And so I started using, because I always struggle for how to organize my 7 million jobs. Mm-hmm. Right? How do I keep notes from the Pride meeting separate from shit for the show, separate from the book fair crap, separate from, you know, which is volunteer book fair crap, which is workbook. So much crap.
Wow.
Crap,
so you don't
crap,
sit
crap.
At a book fair talking about a mechanophile who fucked his truck last week.
Wow.
Right.
I could see
right.
where that
you could see how that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a great story.
But anyway, so I've been back and forth, and I used to keep links on Pinterest, and I know a couple listeners followed me over on Pinterest, and then I stopped using it altogether. Sorry about your luck. And then...
And then they just stopped making things. They were like,
And then kind of built into the functionality of the Surface is Microsoft OneNote, which is a note keeping, organizing, like kind of a binder in a digital way.
So now do you write on the screen and it turns it into typed legible stuff
later? I can do that.
Later?
I absolutely can do that.
That's my dream.
It's super fun. Ooh. I can actually do that. Or in Google Keep, I just pulled up like a sticky note to write on the screen as though it were a pen and paper.
Oh.
Because I was thinking to myself, well, crap, Clayton McKee's going to ask me what I've been up to. What the fuck have I been up to?
Let's make a
list. It's not a surprise question. I mean, you know these things are coming.
I know. Sometimes I wonder, like, how long has it been?
Right. Did that happen this week? That happened yesterday? Did that happen in 1974? Like, I don't know.
Right.
I think that's completely plausible. It could have happened in 74.
Yeah.
To one of us.
Right.
Not to you.
It couldn't have happened to me.
No, it's a true story, though, because I do go back.
Could even have it in 84 to you.
Could have happened in 84.
My time frames get right. So strange of, like, sometime in the 90s? I don't know. I kind of have an idea of...
Well, and then sometimes I have really, like, strangely realistic dreams. And so then I'm left in this thing of, wait, was that in the other night when I was just dreaming about work? Mm. Or... Because that's happened 3 times this week I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Saturday night at work was one of those ones that you want to, like, wake up and be like, oh, it was just a stress nightmare. All of that didn't happen in the course of one evening.
Ugh.
But now it did.
Yeah. That happens.
I checked on Facebook and everyone was thanking each other for helping them through, like, what was a gruesome evening of work. Mm. And, like... And I said to somebody, I'm like, this is one of those things where it would take like a 5-week miniseries to capture all these stories to make it believable. But the fact that it happened in 5 hours just seems like, all right, it's too much. Like, you're just, it's too much.
I feel like you should, A, write the miniseries.
Yeah.
I've got a nice new application that can help you organize your notes.
Yeah, until you've heard someone say, I can't tell one more person. Yeah, I can't tell one more person tonight that their family member's dead. Until you've heard that come out of someone's mouth, that's like eating their feelings.
Right.
You're like, okay.
All right.
Honey. I'll take this one.
We'll do it. We'll help you. Whatever you need.
Hi, Aaron, Brandon, John Jay. Sorry, just saw
very good. Oh, John Jay's in the old chat room tonight. Hi there, John. I saw you on the round on the Facebooks earlier. Now, before we get into what everybody's been doing this week, even though you've touched briefly, I want a lot of our. I'm proud of all of us. I'm proud of what we do. A lot of us are movers and shakers in our own right. We get out there. We do things. Some are unsung heroes. Sometimes we toot our own horn.
I know that Kat.
We sung ourselves most of the time.
Kat is not a person who toots her own horn a lot.
Never.
She gets accolades here and there. Uh-uh. But I few people know.
I feel like I'm getting an Academy Award.
Few people know. She made national headlines this week.
Exactly right. God. She did.
She made national headlines. If you don't know about this, if you don't follow or stalk any of us on Facebook, you might not know about this, but Kat Carlson was actually shown today by the POTUS there, showing about what he does on those binders. Look at that.
In my favorite first grade pun regarding my name. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
I just think that's fantastic. I mean,
no, it truly is.
I think it's fantastic the number of times I've been tagged in that particular image today.
Oh, just to, well, yeah. I know I did it, but yeah, you. Like, I just was proud.
I'm
of
pretty
it.
Sure we're at 11.
Oh, God, it's a
yeah. Now, what I also know is that if you do something wrong, it'll immediately be followed up with this one where you just you're in trouble.
Good times.
Oh, horseshit. Anywho, so what you been doing aside from making new apps on your Surface?
Well.
Which is not a metaphor. That sounds like a metaphor.
It sure does. You busted me, and here's what I wrote down. I wrote down domestic Sunday, because that may be the most interesting thing that I've done all week.
Okay.
It was, and it's really just not even all that interesting, but in an effort to make the rest of my...
Wow.
I know.
Well, way to kill the interest.
Marnie, what have you been doing?
I shut That's down fair. Completely.
That's fair. Thank you all for coming. Have a wonderful day.
God, that's been a long 3 hours.
Isn't that terrible?
That's what listeners say.
For fuck's sake. So that was my week. Martin, what have you been up to?
Yeah, nothing. Really. Oh, good. I don't know.
Now, what'd you really do?
Al, killing people?
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Not on purpose. He walked That's into legit. My knife 10 times.
Right.
He had it coming.
Oh, do we get copyright infringed for just referencing Broadway songs?
No, I think we can sing them all day long.
But we just can't play right.
Yeah, we just can't play the original music. I'm pretty sure we can sing
them
all day
long.
Happy
birthday, you couldn't sing. Right,
we have free
singing.
We have free reign on that one now. We got
Thank
that
goodness.
One.
But somebody said happy birthday is free now. I don't know if that's true.
Actually, it was in the national news. It came out, I'll look that up while you're talking.
We'll do that.
A year or so ago, they actually did a news story on the fact that it was all copyrights on it had expired, and it was public domain.
All right. Well, the story I was going to tell you all can just check right on out, because I'm just going to tell it anyway.
I'm listening.
No, absolutely.
In connection with trying to keep up with the bazillion things that I think that I can do simultaneously, I search around for apps to keep information organized. Mm-hmm. And I also struggle just to keep myself fed in a weird way. I end up on a lot of like Filiberto's at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Which is good for you if you want to live till 100.
Sure,
that's a good
sure,
plan.
Of course.
Good plan.
Delicious.
So I really like the highlight of my week is I got up on Sunday morning and I opened the paper and the youngest was very excited about the ads. So we went through the ads and cut the coupons. Then we made the grocery list and then we came home and we did meal prep for the week. So we put together everything so that it was just dump in a pot and cook, easy to go for the rest of the week.
You're so organized.
Well, good Lord, you have to be sometimes. Because otherwise, then the whole family does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She has more people in the house.
Then it's not always just me, because if it was just me, I'd probably end up with some chicken and broccoli every day in little containers like you see your gym buddies doing. You know them on Instagram when they're all like, food prep, and it's all just a chicken breast, a sad chicken breast and some broccoli in a what do they call those, Ziploc?
And that's when I want to like just put the pillow over their head and tell them.
Yeah.
This is kinder.
Right.
If chicken and broccoli is what you're living for.
If that's all you got going for you, honey.
I'm not going to say
please
it's not
tell
delicious.
Me there's a,
and you
not
felt free to take a picture of it. That's right. That's where the bar was lowered.
Please tell me there's
lowered.
A cheat day in there
by
somewhere.
All means, take another picture of your meal. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to post
there's a reason
cat
the
videos.
Term is fat and happy.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
I'm waiting for the latter.
Yeah. but anyway. anyway, so we put together like very delicious things. We've got tremendous things, great
huge
and delicious things.
All the best people.
The most delicious things. No, we've, you know, and easy stuff to do. So we'll have chili this week, and we'll have chicken soup. Well, I made chicken soup today, which took no kind of time, and
my mom made chicken soup. I talked to her the other day, and she was making chicken soup. Mom, by the way, do you have any left? Because if not, I missed that entire batch of chicken noodle soup that she had made.
So, I'm sure she'd need a whole batch of chicken soup.
Usually what happens is mom cooks for an army because she doesn't know how to cook for smaller portions, which is fine because when I go visit, she ships stuff home with me.
Right.
Sure.
But usually what happens is she gets a craving for something, and so she'll have it for like 1, 2, maybe 3 days, and then she freezes it because she's tired of it.
Yeah.
So then she makes something else. So she's probably still got a pot of chicken soup up there, I would imagine.
I found a simple and easy thing to make this week.
What you got?
Reservations?
Yes. Phone calls.
I like that we're a cooking show today.
No, spinach artichoke dip. It's a little much on its own.
Yeah.
But if you get chicken, I mean, the stuff from the, you know what I mean? It's good. But after like your third cracker, you're like, okay.
Oh, you mean the store-bought kind of whatever, right? Okay.
You feel the heart attack coming on and you're like, oh, maybe
so I got chicken breast and chopped it up, like shredded it, and then just whipped it into just used a little bit of that dip to like mix it up and make a chicken salad
out of
spinach and artichoke. It was delicious.
Look at you.
And then you add some protein to all that fucking mayonnaise.
There's that.
I do not want to complain about mayonnaise.
Oh, God, no.
I like it.
Miracle Whip or mayonnaise. I won't complain about either one.
Nope, uh-uh.
I enjoy them.
Call it a cuppa.
Yeah.
Or a grab-a.
I had a scoop of ice cream just to cut the sweetness.
I put sugar on it to calm it down.
Just to chill it out.
But that's literally, I think, the most interesting thing I could come up with for the whole week. I've been immersed in... Well, you know, social media and news.
When was your last meeting with the Pride people? Because I had a conversation with Justin Owen yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah,
he's so lovely. I like to see
him. I do enjoy him.
I'm excited that I'm on the meeting schedule.
He's
now.
Thrilled. He's thrilled as hell that you're there.
That's so nice.
He's very thrilled that
he's
you're
just
there.
As pleased as pie.
Because one of the topics yesterday, and this is, will mean nothing to anybody else outside of this room, but at our Pride,
like the rest of the show,
mostly right. At our Pride, there is a, you know, there's the entire Pride, and they have all the beer tents and drink things and all this bullshit. Well, a few years ago, they came up with an idea to do a VIP tent that you pay an extra ticket price for, and blah blah blah. But there's a special private bar. Now, my company that I work with, we provide the point of sale, and the company that Kat works with is Bartenders of America.
Kat Carlson Enterprises. Right.
Kat Carlson was a bartender the past 2-3 years there.
You know what? I've been there since they started bringing in bartenders. Apparently there was a VIP area prior to the bar that we know it of now, but I didn't know of it. I didn't know anything about
then. I was there.
But I've been there since the first year that Sway Events and our friend Gary Guerin said, hey, why don't we bring in celebrity bartenders?
Part of the conversation I had with Justin Owen yesterday, we were talking about that and whether or not it was going to be able to be inside. He said no about the bar that's coming.
The new
which
exciting.
It kind of sounds cool what
it
he
does
described.
Sound really cool. I'm
but my favorite part of this whole thing is when we were discussing the whole thing with getting organized and yada, yada, yada. And he goes, well, she's going to run it like it should be run. A fucking bar.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, duh, that's exactly right. It's what we've talked about. But the fact that nobody else seems to understand that, the beverage people never seem to get that.
Yeah.
I love that that's being done. And I'm so excited to see how this is all going to come together this year.
It's an actual bar. Why don't we run the whole thing like a bar?
Yeah. Staff it that way. Have your backup bottles of booze and beer and all that shit.
By definition, you're serving liquor to the community. You are a bar.
Yeah. I just think that's brilliant. So he was excited.
I'm not going to argue with it. It seems like a sound argument on all sides.
Yeah, he's excited.
Looks like a bar, smells like a bar.
Anywho, well, anyway, but he's very happy that you're on board with it. How's our friend Kyle Ward faring so far in the battle of, because now he's beverage coordinator for the whole thing.
You know what? I think he's going to be really great. Kyle Ward is probably one of the like top three people in Phoenix that I would love to work with all the time.
I enjoy him so much. He's a good time.
Yeah, so he's gonna be really great about it. It's like it's his first year and it's the big project, it's the big show, so he's understandably nervous. And
now,
I would be too.
Now I do assume he has to have a staff under him of volunteers who are backing him up. I don't know how it's being set up.
Yeah, we're scouring the community as we speak.
Oh, scouring.
Yeah.
Wow.
Looking for bartenders. okay. and other volunteers to help us out. So we've got...
Oh, I know him.
We'll get it done.
Gotcha.
We love you,
Ward.
Too, Joey.
You know Kyle Ward.
Who's there? Joey from Trudeau Land.
Sounds like it's a good
Hi,
land.
Joey.
love you, Joey.
Interject Trudeau this little land thing right now. I didn't realize this. The birthday song is also the good morning song. A different good morning song. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning, dear teacher. Good morning to you. Never knew that. And then it turns around. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning, dear children. And then it also subs in for happy birthday.
I have never heard.
No, I'm looking at it.
If I had a teacher that optimistic in the morning,
right? Well,
there would have been gunplay.
I'd have stabbed her in the face.
Well,
right.
The 1800s.
Have you ever tried paste?
The 1800s,
listen, sister.
The 1800s were a happier time, apparently. Anyway, the interesting thing, the scan of the sheet music they show here says used special permission through courtesy of the Clayton F. Summy Company.
Is that your cousin?
It is now. No. It has a public domain, and the former owner of the copyright on it has to pay $14 million in unlawful. I guess it would be unlawful collections of copyright on the song that they have to pay back.
Wow! It was like the granddaughters of whoever wrote it, or something.
Yeah,
granddaughters or great granddaughters.
This was filed in February of last year, just about a year ago. That this lawsuit was originally filed in 2013. By filmmaker Jennifer Nelson, who challenged the Happy Birthday copyright. But then they went through all of this other hullabaloo, and apparently they lost the court battle. And I guess it was copyrighted in 1935. But I didn't realize it. So, yeah, anyway, I knew it was public domain, but so we're good. So we can sing the shit or play the shit out of that one. We just can't play the Adobe commercial from SNL.
And I absolutely love it. The fact that no,
good
don't.
Morning to you. No?
No, that's not.
I do.
I thought that was what
let's
you
sing
wanted
the
us
other,
to sing.
If we're going to sing a song, let's sing the other Good Morning song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great. Like, good morning. Good morning to you. You.
And you.
Stop. Oh, not the Jews. We got to start talking about them already.
Yeah, we'll
I mixed in a little Sound of Music.
Ms. Ryer.
What was the question?
Same question, different person. What's up? Anything new? Anything exciting?
You always put me on the spot.
It's not a surprise. I'm sorry. It's not like SEAL Team 6 comes in here and asks you questions.
Shit. Let me think. We celebrated Brenda's birthday last week. Batman and Robin.
Okay. Now, are their birthdays on the same day, or they just have the same account?
Same account.
Okay.
Yep, same account.
Huh?
It's Brenda and Robin.
Facebook?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that would drive me insane.
I know. Brenda doesn't necessarily want one. Robin is the one who's always on there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
And there's quite a few couples that I know that go as...
She's on it by proxy.
That go as one. Right, because one of them's active, but the other one wants to see pictures.
Right, exactly. And recipe things.
Gotcha.
And things that people put up. So.
Gotcha.
Anyway, we went for dinner, and then we went to... we went for karaoke to the old Brass Rail.
Oh
my God!
Wow.
On Thomas,
Sweet
oh
Jesus.
My God!
Holy cow!
And
haven't you gone there of a morning
fantastic.
With the crew
yeah.
from the
sure.
from the restaurant?
Mm-hmm. They
yeah.
have good breakfast, and they have
oh they do
oh yeah
oh yeah.
I
yeah,
had no idea breakfast. They had food.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
it's
bar food, but it's like that greasy kind of
bacon,
like,
eggs,
yum.
Toast,
oh,
yeah. hash
Delicious.
Browns.
Oh
six
my
bucks.
God!
Like Missouri, like yeah.
We're gonna have to go.
Yeah.
I'll have to go someday.
Yeah.
I'll dress down.
8 a.m.
Actually, I'd probably wear this.
Please do. Yeah, yeah.
I was just going to say,
so you'd be 8 dressing
a.m.,
up.
I'll meet
yeah.
you.
Really, it's so good. And just an eclectic crowd. And so Erin put in songs for me and for her, obviously. And Jason was with us. And I got up there and I'm like, I've been looking at the crowd. I'm like, I need to change this up a little bit. So, of course, I put in John Denver, thank God I'm a country boy.
Yeah.
Because that spoke to the crowd. I'm not fucking around
they
here.
They were Rocky
that
Mountain, not quite high.
Is this
enough.
A crowd exactly. that you could have thrown a banjo up and anybody that caught it could play it?
They could have caught it without their teeth. Like, there were teeth missed. There was a lot happening. But God
it's a very
bless
exciting.
Them. No, no, no. But it was. It,
Rocky
it's
Mountain
fun because,
High.
Because like, nobody is judgy. Nobody is.
No,
you know,
it's
judgy.
In that same
except
realm.
Except us.
As,
I mean,
yeah.
we were in the back corner. But I'm saying.
Same realm as the old Hidden House and the Swizzle
sure.
Inn and
you just
all
go,
those, all
you
those
enjoy.
Classics. Yeah.
Right. And.
So two Sky Rocks and a hearty man breakfast was like $15.
Right. I mean, we had six of us there, and I mean, Mom and Robin weren't drinking, but still, it was only $30. Yeah. And we were there for like 3 hours. Fantastic. Just delightful. So did a little. Delightful. I got out there and I was supposed to. I don't know. Aaron put something else in, and I looked down. And I'm like, I'm gonna need to change this, please. And the guy who does the runs the karaoke.
Okay, that's about enough. I don't want to deal with copyrights this fucking week.
Not with him.
No, I mean, he'd fight with you. But it was very funny.
He's just experimental airplane away from
really
being alive.
Is. He really is. It was fantastic, though, because, like, everybody had done, you know, everyone had done a great job. And you really don't want to follow Aaron if it's karaoke, because she has a really great voice. But I was following her, and that's why I changed it up. Because you got to get the crowd in. Lure them, you know? And the guy
Nothing says lure them in like, thank God I'm a country boy.
And the gentleman who was running it pretty much thinks that he's Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, really?
And it really, after, I don't know, maybe about 5-10 minutes, grating on you. You know, like, well, I don't know.
And then there's something about cakes on the griddle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so I thought, well, I have to do this. And sure shit I did. And everybody just a little nuts about
hog
it.
Hog wild,
as it were. Yeah, I'm a country boy. It was fantastic.
Wow.
It was fantastic. So, it was just fun.
I have no words.
After being at the John Denver Museum and Art Studio, I don't know what the hell it was. But
A mountain? No?
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, good.
Okay. So in Colorado.
Yeah.
So was looking through, and so I downloaded a bunch of songs. Felt free to skip that one.
How come? That's why, honest to God, one of my favorites. Just one of my favorites all time. Because it's just awful and fun. And, yeah.
Which one was awful?
The Country Boy. Oh.
Because there's several other ones out there.
Oh, no,
nice.
He's got love. He's got lovely.
That Annie's one, song, and it reminds me.
I'm sorry for the way things are in China. Always remains a classic.
Oh,
I just start apologizing for shit till you're happy. I feel like that was the motivation for that song. He and his wife were just in a pissing contest.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you going to tell me what's wrong? Nope. Guess. And she just starts out.
I'm sorry about the way things are in China. Let's start there and narrow the field.
Eventually, I'll hit on something you're going to agree to.
That's good.
Something's going to move you.
Something. Something in the way you
move. Something in the way.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. Good for you.
Yeah, done.
Good.
That was fun.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well done.
I don't know. So I like rendering fucking time restraint. I just was like, let's move on.
Yeah.
Well, I watched the very political, very, very political, very pointed SAG Awards the other night, but luckily Trump is so busy taking shit from so many people that he didn't even notice this time when all of Hollywood stood up and told him to fuck off. En masse, as they say in France.
Oh,
en masse. And so that was fun. Doug came over, we drank some wine, had some comida de China, and
how's that?
Chinese food.
Oh.
I like to get fancy every once in a while. And then I've just been working on my my birthday trip and kind of put the last pieces of the puzzle together for.
Very exciting.
What gonna happen? I'm very excited.
Do you want to give us any hints?
I am doing a day by myself in Barcelona.
Okay.
And then I meet up with my friend Shane, and we're going to do something in Barcelona. And then organize tours of...
That's two things in Barcelona.
Two things in Barcelona. One by myself, one with someone else. Then I'm doing Florence and going to see the Duomo from Silence of the Lambs. I know it's not really what it's from, but it's what he drew from memory.
It's okay.
So I wanted the Duomo to be part of it. And going to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, where we get to climb to the top.
Oh.
Going to Rome to the Vatican.
I did not know that you could
do
that. I don't mean to...
I don't think they just opened it up.
It had been closed for a while, and now it's open again. So we're doing the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel. We're doing something in Naples. I can't remember what it was. Yep. Something exciting. We're going to do a day in Mallorca by ourselves, and then we get back to Barcelona and I come home.
I don't think I've ever heard of Mallorca.
Mallorca is an island off, it's like, I think Corsica is what you might have heard
of. I've heard of that.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. But Mallorca is a little island off the coast of Spain. Very beautiful.
Sounds beautiful.
And you it's
just
it's,
as an island.
It's spelled it with two good. L's, so you may not have ever known that you pronounced it Mallorca.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of people that
the L is silent, apparently.
That say it wrong.
Both of them.
Well, two L's become a Y.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. In Spanish. I knew that.
You think I would have known that,
like,
but I don't.
Like, como se llama? Arroyo. How do you say your name? You spell la, como se llama with two L's, because mm-hmm. two L's make a Y.
Empollo.
Empollo.
Arroyo.
Yeah.
Arroyo. Oh,
that's really a Y.
Yeah, I know.
It means creek.
I know.
Craig. Jesus, so
we're a cooking show, we're a language class.
I know we are. So it was very exciting to put that together, and the and that was about it. Like, the one day that I was off and I really thought I was going to do something, there was a death that just left me chained to YouTube for 12 hours, and I honestly never left the computer, and I was like, it's 10 o'clock at night.
That happens.
Haven't bathed, second cup of coffee sitting here with me. So, but I mean, it was a good week. It was fun.
Good.
You know? Gotta, you know,
it sounds like
get over what happens and you move the fuck on.
Planning that trip would be a lot of fun. Friend.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and it's fun to plan with some. Usually I just pick whatever I want to, but this one was like, everybody pick your top two and we'll look at it. And the one was like buses along windy cliffs, and the other one was like all on the water. I'm like, we're going to take the water for 500, Bob, because I am not doing.
Yeah.
So I just watched the video and I'm like, I'm not doing 3 hours on a bus on winding cliffs to see some fucking coast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because what if you're on the wrong side of the bus? Then what are you looking at? The cliff wall? That. Fuck you.
And you don't know. Ooh, good point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not my first time at a rodeo.
No, I'm sure it's not.
Oh, the other place is Cannes. We're going to Cannes, and we're going to Monte Carlo. So I'm going to see where Grace Kelly died.
Okay.
It's not in a book, but I'm going to pretend it is.
Fantastic.
Because if it can't be something from a book, then it's got to be celebrity driven. So.
Okay.
I get to see the road that Grace Kelly kind of pfft off of.
Wow. Is that on the bus?
Wait, so there are actual rules to this trip?
Well, there is any time I travel. It's always something.
I love it.
You know what I mean? Like, I did the Da Vinci Code when I was in Paris last. And
you know
what
I mean? I didn't know that.
I did the whole tour and audio.
I should listen to this show. You learn things about
put you right to sleep.
If I travel by myself, I always try to tie it into something I've seen. So
something
I have
iconic,
like, some point of reference of what we're all looking at, because otherwise I'm like, I don't know what the fuck this place is.
Flip this is? The fuck?
This is beautiful. Like, I don't know where I am, but...
Oh, that's why there's that one country that I won't say out loud that I won't go to, because their movies don't make it look nice.
All right.
Oh, we can say Ireland. We'll pick Ireland, because almost every movie about Ireland is just potatoes
looks
and depression.
Looks kind of miserable, sure, and cold.
Yeah.
And green.
Makes me cold.
And I feel like they don't make french fries like we do, so why would you go? It's a good thing to do with a potato.
No, they don't. I'm sure they don't make the same thing.
How do you fuck up a french fry? Oh,
I feel like they just don't make french fries. I feel like they're proud of just doing a potato in like its natural state, which no one wants to see that.
Well, and in Italy,
you know what?
You're not going to get Italian food like
bring back discrimination against the mix. That's my... Those dirty mix.
That if you watch that show, if you watch The Mick,
no,
I think it's on Fox.
Okay.
It might be on Tuesday nights. It's the girl. It is on Fox because she's also on. It's the girl from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Now she has a show where she's the horrible sister who's on the run from tax evasion. So she's raising her two brat rich nieces and nephews. It's kind of like politically incorrect and kind of funny. She's a funny actress. I can't think of her name, but. I just happened to catch a couple episodes of the show.
And went for it?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm amused.
Glad you were amused. For me, what are you eating now? What is that?
Butternut squash soup.
Okay.
Would anybody like some?
No, I'm good.
I'm actually really excited somebody brought back the Katie June dinner hour.
Yeah.
Sorry, right. Yeah.
But this one's not sponsored by AJ's.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That girl showed up and spent $80 on every meal she ever had.
She really did.
Actually, if you do that dinner thing that she did, it's only like $7 to $12.
Oh,
it's a very reasonable
meal. That's cheaper than what I order at McDonald's.
And not only is it reasonable, it's fucking healthier. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Probably healthier than the McDonald's thing.
Probably.
These are guesses.
The double quarter pounder and the chocolate shake is not.
These people are not afraid of a butter sauce. So it's not that much healthier.
It's like Durant's.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. But you feel better about
it. It's fancier, but there's still butter and mayonnaise. Don't you worry.
Well, not a lot of terribly exciting things other than the fact that it's been beautiful weather. The house has been open all week. I mean, earlier in the week, it was over the weekend, we had a cold day. But, it's just been beautiful weather in Phoenix. So that's been enjoyable.
And it makes you feel like you're outside.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It's lovely.
The windows are all open, and I saw sun the other day, and I'm like, well, there it is.
There, it's right there. It's still coming around. Every 24 hours, yeah. She cycles around here.
Oh, boy.
It's a rarity that I do, but I happen to catch on, I believe it's Turner Classic Movies. That's the channel that plays movies without commercial interruption, correct?
Sometimes. Well, they go back and forth.
Well, last night, as I was getting, and I was tired, and I was done, but I'm like, okay, I'm just going to surf channels for a minute. And I caught the very beginning of, and I'd never seen it, I know it's shocking, of the original 1960 Ocean's 11.
Oh, that's exciting.
And I watched it primarily because I wanted to see how Vegas looked in the 60s in their portrayal. And it was very interesting because, obviously, if you have no idea what original Vegas looked like, it was very sparse. Like, it was just desert and, like, five casinos, and that was about all there was to Vegas.
And lots of holes dug. In between all of the casinos.
Yeah.
For bodies. Yeah, okay, right.
Oh, the good old days.
So, no, it was
just
go
bury somebody in the
It
desert.
Was an interesting movie to watch. And again, based on, if you were watching it in the 60s, you had no idea how technology worked, obviously. So what they were doing, and you're watching it now, 57 years later?
It's a long time.
So you're watching, you're like, okay, that's how they're going to attack this? That's how they're gonna do this? It just kind of was interesting. Everybody, of course, is smoking like a house of fire everywhere. The little lounge acts were kind of funny to watch. As you know, there's the circle bar, you've got just the little bar, which I realize there's still bar acts that do that, but it was just very interesting to watch it. So I watched the whole damn thing, and I'm laying there and I'm like, who is this guy, the guy who plays Duke Santos? And I was like, I'll be damned. I had to look at Cesar Romero.
Oh, yeah.
Cesar Romero, Norman Fell, I didn't realize was part of
Norman
that group.
Fell, yeah. I think he's in Mad World, too, from that same era. Like, they all make their way through, like, those.
But I did not realize he was actually part of that group. Apparently, according to what I heard, he had run around with that group, too, for a while.
Yeah, because they were Vegas performers. They did the nightclub circuit, and then they ended up in Vegas with their own.
So it's just very interesting to watch the movie again. The fashions, how things were.
The lower rent casinos,
right? But I did think it was interesting, and it speaks a lot about even the time. I didn't understand how Sammy Davis was part of this, but he's the trash truck driver in that whole movie. Like, that was his whole deal.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, he's not permitted to be in the show anywhere. But yet, he sang one or two songs in the movie.
Oh, no, and Vegas never had, like, a black or white. They never segregated like that.
Okay.
They never did that.
But I thought it was interesting. So anyway, I watched another movie. So mark that down somewhere that Clayton actually watched a fucking movie. So you're
and
good.
It's fun to see because
I'm going to make a note and then set a reminder.
The old strip has been around for a long time where Union Plaza was the crown jewel. And, like, every 10 years or so, they update the Union Plaza and try to bring it back. And the last time I was there, it's time to... We were at 9 years
we're
and
done.
360 days. Like, somebody's got to do this. And the Golden Nugget and all those and the horseshoe. But the part of the... That was kind of a promotion for the new strip that hadn't been there that long. So they were at, like, the Sands,
the Sahara, the Riv,
they're
the
on the new strip.
Okay.
And only in that little section. So... I didn't get there till 86 was the first time I was in Vegas.
94, 93 for me.
I was there before Mirage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, there was no, the Tropicana was the the jewel of the strip at the time. And they hadn't put up the new towers for Caesars yet. Like, nothing had expanded into, like, outside grounds.
Yeah.
And it was just weird to see, like, all that empty space in between. So if you had to go from Tropicana to, like, say, Caesars, seemed like miles and miles and miles.
Forever, yeah.
It was just desert.
Because there was nothing in between.
Let me tell you, if you're maybe a little too publicly intoxicated and you're walking that bit, it's miles and miles and miles.
No, it is, because you got to go up and over and they route you around.
But there's a lot of distractions now. You can, it does make the time go a little faster. But it was interesting when they were showing shots of, you know, the strip, and You know, because every time they go to a new location, that shows the trash truck drive in and all the, you know, setting up each scene. But it was interesting to see all the old signs and how it was, because obviously they were really doing outside shots of some of these places. So that was kind of cool. And then, am I wrong? Shirley MacLaine's in that movie? Uh-huh. Okay, I thought that's who I recognized her. Cesar Romero. And again,
she's another one from that Vegas performance. It was everybody that was on that circuit.
Okay.
Shirley MacLaine performed. She always had a nightclub act.
And I didn't realize that.
And that's where she would. That's where she would.
And I only saw her in the one scene where she gets out of the car and she's wasted, and Dean Martin comes out and kisses her to distract her from the other guy going in the electrical room. You know, as part of the plot of the movie. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Now the other thing is, again, we're all news people, so we're always constantly watching and interacting with the news. Well, we follow, like I do. I follow a lot of different people on the Twitter, right?
So I do, and I'm using it more and more.
I'm finally learning how the fuck to use it, because before I didn't really pay a lot of attention.
Right.
I swear to God, I'm still not going to get Snapchat down. I think I'm just diametrically opposed to it.
Yeah.
But
foes.
Twitter is okay. So today, I was at my desk doing some other stuff for work and prep for the show, and I just happened to see on the Twitter feed Katie Tour from NBC had posted about Madeleine Albright today was on Andrea Mitchell's show. And she posted that something about Madeleine Albright's brooch was great. It was a fabulous brooch.
Oh.
So the interview was already...
What did she wear?
The interview was over, so I had to go online later to find it, and I did.
Oh, it's an online tour.
And then I retweeted and liked the post and tweeted back to Katie Tour. She responded and liked my post. So at the top one, Katie Tour, Madeleine Albright's brooch on Michelle Mitchell Reports is fantastic. I then liked it, responded back. She liked it and responded back to me. And I loved it.
That's exciting when celebrities retweet you or respond.
I think it is. She's so fucking busy. You're running from every place in the world to grab news and report. Because I've decided that none of them sleep.
Mm. Yeah.
But here's the brooch that she had on. It's the Lady Liberty brooch that Madeleine Albright wore today. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I just thought it was cool that she liked it. I liked it.
You know, here's a unifying fact that we can really like throw out there and start to get behind. Everyone at this day and age like sits on the toilet with their phone in their hand. So these people are just, you know, they're on Twitter. That's when.
Wherever she is.
I'm convinced. Yeah, wherever she is, all over the world, like she's got to sit down a couple of times a day and boom, 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 she's looking at her mentions.
And Madeleine Albright's brooches are part of an art tour that goes around. They were at the Phoenix Art Museum during the Hollywood costumes. And so to see like what she wore to important meetings or summits and why she wore them, like the explanation is there for what they represented. It was wonderful. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
It's very thoughtful. You know, I'm on my way to there.
Talk about it on here.
I recognized that it was Tuesday today, so I wore my black V-neck. It's very, very similar.
I appreciate that. It's very nice.
That very is nice. Good stuff.
On Tuesdays we wear V-necks.
You can sit with us. You can do it if you want to.
So I did.
Hey, Annette.
Yes.
Hi, Annette.
Huh. Oh my God, there she is. It's very busy in there. God, I felt like there was one other thing I was going to tell you, and I spaced it, but it doesn't really matter.
Two things.
Oh, I got a little extra last night. It was so funny. Did y'all realize?
Whoa!
Did y'all realize?
Thank you. No.
Stand
thank
by.
Thank you, Kat.
Oh, no, did anybody else realize there was Rachel was on for her normal hour, and then she came back at midnight?
You got some extra of your boyfriend. You know what? I saw she said something about it on Twitter.
Oh,
I, of course, funny. Don't have a cable subscription. You know,
but when I was watching, I wound up watching Brian Williams' 11th Hour live.
Oh.
And I'm just sitting there, and it was on, and he says, in our continuing coverage, Rachel Maddow is coming back for another hour. And I'm like, huh? And he's like, that's right. And literally tossed
like
to her.
Bonus boyfriend.
I was like, what? She was so pissed and so angry about so much that she needed 2 hours to get
She's
it.
She's like, somebody put me, keep me out.
I wonder why I didn't
there.
Get, that bumps me out, because, you know, I listen to her every day now through the podcast magic.
Right.
And I did not get the second hour.
I don't know if that's part of her deal, but it was interesting.
I'm very unhappy. I'm going to tweet her.
But
I think you should.
Put that online, bitch.
That's what everybody's doing.
Anytime you speak, we need to hear it.
Yeah, but I know how you feel. When I was in San Francisco.
Do you really know how
I
feel?
I actually do. Okay. I'm not empathizing. I just know.
Is Rachel Maddow your boyfriend, too?
No. About the retweet. I'm not talking about Maddow. So I went, I had a picture that I took. This obviously didn't come true, but Hillary Clinton was at San Francisco Pride.
Okay.
In a car between these two gals, she was a cutout.
Oh, okay.
And because they had just made an announcement that she was at New York Pride.
Okay.
And that she was in the parade at the exact same time. And oh. So I took the picture and I put it on Twitter. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. You had to help me get that set up long time ago.
Oh, your Twitter account. Yeah. Yes, yes.
And so I put it on there and I said, well done, future Madam President. You can be in two. You have a superpower to be in two places at once. One time. And all of a sudden I get this, we would like to retweet it, or they retweeted it. And it was some news person who had found it. And I was like, I got retweeted.
I got acknowledged.
And I thought, am I really that excited about this? But I really was.
Well, that's
okay. You know.
It can happen.
You can't deny the feelings. They were there.
Sometimes you get hooked on a feeling.
Sometimes.
Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, ooga chaka.
Right.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Somewhere.
When you're down and out. Owl, you just sent me something. What'd you send me? Something exciting?
Oh, I just sent you a fun... a fun Vegas sign.
Oh, well, hang on. Let me see if I can get that right quick before we go to...
And I do have a question.
We have answers. We make up shit, too.
If I were to send you something else right now that's a video, would you be able to utilize that or no?
We can try. Okay. What the hell's you got there? Rumor? Read it. I can't read it. Ever. Read what you said.
Well, I just sent a tweet to the Matt Owl. Said at Matt Owl, rumor has it there was a second hour last night. Will that hit your podcast feed as well? As a girl on the go, I listen versus watch.
As a girl on the go,
I like it.
That's gonna be one of her new segments.
She's gonna identify with that.
Yeah, well, she's a girl.
Hook her in. Yeah, hashtag, she's a girl on the
hashtag
go.
Hashtag girl on the go.
I didn't have enough room. I used up all of my characters.
I know that pisses me off. Yeah,
no, I like it.
Mm. Here, I'm sending you one. I'm sending you two to put up.
This is okay. Well, I got the first one, but I'm gonna wait now because we've got. In stimulating talk radio here.
It really is.
What's the...
Because they're both gone, and they are both so lovely. So the first one is the silver slipper, which was always fun.
I love this sign.
It just says drag queens welcome here.
I'll have to look down.
They tore it down it's been a long time, but Boylesque played there for years.
I fortunately was able to see that sign. The second one, I was able to see it in person. Oh, hang on. I'm going to show you what we're talking about.
And then the second one was my favorite, especially if you were a little boozy.
Oh, I'm talking about the second one. You're talking about the first one is the drag queen's welcome?
Yeah.
So hang on. So this one?
So the first one is the silver slipper with the glittery pump that spun around.
Got it. I never saw that. I saw the Frontier sign.
Oh, I've never seen that.
With the fuck me heel.
Yeah.
And, that Frontier has been gone for... forever. Like I barely remember the Frontier being there.
I believe I've seen that
it's
sign
been
though.
Gone a long
but like
time.
There's the Desert Inn, and the Desert Inn is where the Mirage is
now. Oh, and the Sands, if you look
or the Wynn. I think the Wynn, the Desert Inn became the Wynn. And there's the Sands, they're all gone.
Yeah, all gone.
But the Boylesque with that, I mean, it was just so Las Vegas to have a big giant glitter pump
glittery
spinning
slipper.
In the air.
And I always loved this sign.
And if you were a little boozy,
I thought that was a great sign.
Watching that sign light up, if you were just the right amount of a buzz on, you could sit and stare at that sign
because
it would light, it would twinkle up and fill
yes.
up,
oh,
and
yeah.
then it would drain and like
yes.
it would go away. Oh,
I always thought fascinating the technology even back then, the technology to make all of those signs work because they were very animated, you know, with the neon and all of the different lights and stuff. That was very very cool. Marnie, send me whatever you want to send, and we'll see how magic we can make.
So I mean, that's an idea of like how empty that was. Is look at the space between the desert and the sand.
So
like,
much, yeah.
There's only like four hotels in the picture. Where like now there's literally 60 in that block.
Yeah, it's insane. And
I think Circus would be behind us. Like I think this is looking.
I don't know
south.
The front.
I think it's looking south, and I think Circus and Caesars. Would be behind us at where we're standing.
I think you're correct that you're looking south based on where the sun is in this picture. Because the shadows are being cast this way, so that would have been west. So yeah, you're looking south.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's a lot of work there. And yes, I know who Save Ferris is. That's really cool that they liked your post.
Oh, I know who Save Ferris is. That group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know, but that is cool. Well,
I bet if you heard the song...
Yeah.
Because it was actually oddly, it was a song I think LaHoot used to do. Okay. One of their songs she did. I don't know why, but they're Save Ferris.
Who knows why she does any?
For crying out loud, Save Ferris. What is that? I mean, anyway. Well, we're going to come back with headlines. I'm sure it's going to be very exciting for everybody because we have those to do. The drinking word will be coming up in about 10 minutes or so. In the meantime, it's Q-Talk America. Welcome to it.
Hey, girl. You okay?
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Is the Q-Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, kids. We're going to make an attempt at getting some headlines done on this Tuesday night. It's Q-Talk America, the 31st day of January 2017. Oh, a pastor flees scene naked and afraid.
Attaboy, scouts.
Mississippi proposes fines and counseling.
I just love J.K. Rowling.
Trump is a recycling madman.
What happened to the cake?
Honey, change the battery.
Trump is going to protect the gays.
And is that a moose in your basement, or are you just happy to see me? These and others, titillating stories coming up right here. Q-Talk America.
I feel like that whole category of headlines could be things heard outside a homosexual's house.
Oh, I'll take metaphors for a thousand. My God. Well,
innuendo.
Innuendo, yes. This story, and I love people who act like they're better than everybody else. A well-known Tallahassee pastor was forced to flee naked after a husband came home early and found him having sex with that man's wife. Mm. The details of the January 17th episode outlined in a police report combined with Pastor O. Jermaine Simmons... addressed to members of his Jacob Chapel congregation about the incident, have been subject of intense social media and internet buzz of late. The address, which was filmed and uploaded to YouTube by someone in the congregation, has been seen by tens of thousands of people over the last week. I did not look up the link to the to it. Now let's take a look of the pastor here. He's an upstanding man right there. I mean, not a bad looking guy. Look right there. In an address to his members, Simmons seemed to portray the congregation and the victim and himself as the victims. Well, of course he did. Why wouldn't
poor
he
baby.
Be the victim? Because, he found himself stuck in somewhere else, literally. he says, quote, and I almost gave this to you to read in a voice, but
my goodness,
he says, quote, I'm hurting because I've hurt you, Simmons said January 22nd. Quote, I can't speak to the people on the outside. I am not Tallahassee's pastor. I am not Florida's pastor. I am Jacob Chappell's pastor. And it hurts me that you have to defend my actions. You cannot defend sin, he continued, to loud applause from the congregation.
As God is my witness.
Oh, my God.
I'll never go hungry.
The scandal broke during the same week Simmons and the church were celebrating the 11th anniversary of his leadership. I guess he got a little celebratory booty, I guess, what he was doing.
All around with that birthday fuck.
He was except she was married.
Still.
He was scheduled to hold a signing of his first book. The book entitled I Need a Man, literally not I Need a Man, but I Need a Man, oddly, which according to his website's description offers a fresh perspective of the issues of godly manhood and mentoring. He was with a woman, right? Yeah. So Simmons,
I feel like that's his secret drag.
Now, Simmons, right. Who is married and has a son, is well known in Florida's capital city for addressing the physical and spiritual needs of college students and the downtrodden.
Boy, howdy.
He established a cold night shelter and organizes the annual Back to School Bash, which collects and distributes backpacks and other school supplies for hundreds of Tallahassee children. However, his recent actions outside the pulpit have brought him some unwanted attention. According to a Tallahassee police report, officers went to the Siena Square apartment on Capitol Circle Northeast in the middle of the afternoon. Middle of the afternoon, good old afternoon delight. on January 7th. Gonna hold their tie.
That's enough. That's it.
Now, this is after a woman called a report. This is the police. Afternoon delight.
Arrested Development, whenever they would sing it on there, and it would always be like a father-son duo, and they'd be like, this song is filthy.
Filthy. Right? Now, the police responded on the afternoon of January 17th after a woman called to report that her husband was angry and he had a handgun after he encountered his wife and Simmons having sex in the daughter's bedroom. Oh, my God, this gets worse.
Wow.
Well, at least she didn't want to do it in her own bed.
Did you vet this story?
The man came home early. In the afternoon.
Alternative bedrooms.
The man came home early after the school called him to pick up his son, who had fallen ill at school. The school had tried unsuccessfully to reach the wife. She was busy.
She's very busy.
According to the woman, Simmons came over to discuss starting a business and provide... He came over to discuss starting a business about providing less fortunate kids with clothes and shoes, but they ended up in bed together. That is a meeting.
Clothes and shoes and a birthday fuck. That's on the, there's your wish list.
The woman told police that Simmons had begun establishing a relationship with her last October.
Goodness gracious.
Oh my God.
If
he
came over and suggested something to me, I'm like, I'd be like, what? Have we thought about a birthday fuck?
Oh, my God. That's funny shit right there.
The Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Big news.
Big news.
Big news. People are going to be very, still very no excited cookies. About this. Very excited.
I might join again. I was one a long time ago.
The Boy Scouts, reversing a century-old stance,
I have pictures.
Will allow transgender boys. I was really excited to read this. With everything going on in this fucking day and age.
Yeah.
I thought there is some good news out there.
That the Boy Scouts has decided to, like, let's be kind to
right.
people.
In the last couple of years, like, to first allowing gay kids.
Gay scoutmasters. I mean, if you want to be a scoutmaster, doesn't that just sound gay?
Yeah, kind of. And the little shorts.
I mean, scout mistress sounds gayer, but it's pretty close.
On the list of things that sound real fucking gay, right. I feel like that's in the top 25.
It could be.
Scoutmaster.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Could be.
You go higher?
I'd go higher.
Yeah.
I can think some pretty gay things. We're on the list.
That's good stuff.
Head stapler. I mean, it just sounds gay.
Oh, we're going to make a list on here. We're just going to keep it in perpetuity. We're going to make a little checklist. Carry on, please.
Is there a shovel coordinator? I don't know. Do you need
fist enthusiast?
Oh.
You better read your story.
Was there a badge for that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it was brown. Wow. Sorry. Oh boy. Sorry, it's too easy. You lob it over the plate, somebody's going to hit it back.
Absolutely.
Pray continue, m'lady.
So for more than 100 years, the Boy Scouts of America, along with schools, youth, sports, and other youth organizations, have ultimately deferred to the information on an individual's birth certificate to determine eligibility for our single-gender programs, the group had said in a statement. However, that approach is no longer sufficient as communities and state laws are interpreting gender identity differently. And these laws vary widely from state to state. So the fact that they're even looking at that,
right.
huge. The announcement came last night, and it reverses a policy that drew controversy late last year when a transgender boy in New Jersey was kicked out of the organization about a month after joining. After weeks of significant conversations at all levels of our organization, we realized that referring to birth certificate as the reference point is no longer sufficient. Again, Michael Serbaugh said, the announcement came amid a national debate over transgender rights, with cities and states across the nation struggling with whether and how to regulate gender identity in the workplace, in restrooms, and at schools. And the young boy that they were referring to is right here.
I hope this goes well.
And
was asked to leak this truth because he's transgender. I want them to be comfortable with how I am and what my destiny is and what my identity is.
The new policy brings the Boy Scouts in line with the Girl Scouts who've been admitting transgender girls for years.
Like, sorry about that. quality.
We gotta, I'm going to teach you how to do audio.
Please do. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just didn't.
But I mean, if all you want to do is wear brown and hike around the woods being prepared for shit that's probably not going to happen, God bless you.
Right. Poison ivy is good to know. But
we're going to need you later. I mean, I feel like you're going to learn some useful shit.
Right. I'm going to add wear brown and hike around to the list.
What's your official term? I wear brown and I hike around.
When you see that, that young man, to see him and hear that story and hear him just like, I just want people to know what my, whatever my destiny is, that this is, you know, just to accept me. And I just thought, what a little sweetheart.
I mean, if they're not making a daisy chain, go ahead. You know what I mean? If it's some kind of sex camp, then sure, maybe.
Right.
But go for it. Like, the kid wants to wear the little outfit with a scarf and look like a flight attendant.
He just
and go
doesn't
want to
sell cookies.
Right. Or wear the brown. And why do they always pick brown? Were there no good colors available?
No.
Well, they have to blend in.
I think the fabric is cheap.
If I'm not mistaken, is it?
Boy Scouts wear navy blue.
Yeah, navy blue. And then you get up to the Weeblos, and then I know they're brown. Swear
Come
to God.
On. You're going to walk right into Weeblos?
Are you kidding me?
Talk about a meatball. Are you sure they're not the clergy?
No, he's absolutely right. It's
when you get to the...
It's Cubs.
Is it Cub, Boy, Weeblo?
No, I think
Bear.
It's
Bear.
I know you think I'm making this up, but I'm not.
How do you spell that?
Well, no wonder I think they didn't want gays
I think
in there.
It's either W-E-B-L-O.
Right, when the third step is Weeblo. Come on.
And the first step is Cub.
And you know somebody, some guy named it. I mean, it's not like, you know.
You know what would be funny? If we just said Weeblo. Maybe make it Troop 69.
Is it W-E-B-L-O?
The highest is the...
Hang on.
One hopes
anal
not.
Compartment.
I swear to God.
Anal compartment. The caboose.
The caboose.
W-E-B-E-L-O.
Oh, it's French.
Weeblo. Can we at least add a syllable? Where is that innuendo bound?
In any event.
John Jay, I don't think that's innuendo, though. When you call it Weeblo, I think we're pretty much on the nose. Well,
on the something.
Little something. Little south.
Pinocchio's nose. Whatever.
Oh, shit. The Boy Scouts hate us now.
Yeah, done.
You secretly want his tea bags on your face.
Kind listeners, moments ago, I want you to know this is very important news. Yeah. Oh. Moments ago, I started a list. In my Google Keep app.
Yeah.
This list is entitled Things That Sound Real, Real Gay. So far I have...
Al T. Perkins.
So far I have Fist Enthusiast, Scoutmaster, Wear Brown and Hike Around. I also like that it rhymes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fun part.
It gives it a certain elegance.
I feel like LM Squared is going to work that into his next musical.
LM Squared.
And Weeblo Scout. These are
pick your favorite. You only get one. Weeblo Scout, one.
This list
there's no
will
plural
live
there.
In perpetuity as long as the show with Click
oh
McKee.
Oh my God, that almost
shall died. Live.
I know. And Aaron says tying knots can be useful for being gay. I know. I'd still have a boyfriend if I tied a better knot.
Because he was trying to run away?
Yeah. Not away, okay. Yeah.
They scream a lot, but it's only because they're trying to get out of the house.
In fact, I'm going to pin this list to the top.
Some people scream, oh God, mine screams, get me out
Let
of here.
Let me out, help!
Right.
Could locksmithing be also part
of
that?
Oh, that sounds, blacksmithing.
Oh! Well, that's if you're making horseshoes.
I'm just going to put smithing.
Smithing. Just the general art of smithing.
Oh, God.
The one piece of this that I thought was interesting was that, to tie into the horrible things of today, but Rex Tillerson, who I am not a fan of in any way, shape, or form.
Only Russia is.
Oddly, was the... He was involved in getting the organization to accept gay scouts and leaders. I thought that
he thought they had oil. Somebody wanted he wanted to drill them.
Oh, that when they were talking about lube, I think that's what happened.
Probably so.
They were like, "Oh, grease
silicone.
It up," and he thought, "Oh,
silicone based."
Oh,
though.
My bad. But I really did think that was interesting. He was the national president of the Boy Scouts of America.
So wait a minute. So he has a redeeming quality about him.
He lobbied the Boy Scouts to accept gay youth. It's like the first thing that comes up about him.
And he was on the executive board in 2013 when it voted to lift the ban on gay scouts. I thought there's nothing redeeming about this man.
How did that get that in there? That's crazy.
Yep. Harvey Milk. Here's why. All of these assholes have... No, no, no.
But she's got a legitimate point here.
I have a point here.
Just one thing or two?
Right, just
just the one. Just the one.
Two, just in case.
Ish. The door open.
One-ish.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, put that down. Mark that down.
Put a door opener. No. Very gay.
Leave the door open. Yeah, that's on the list.
No, because Harvey Milk's big thing was they can't vote against us. They can't discriminate us if they realize that we are them. Right? If they realize that we're their sons, uncles, nephews, cousins, right. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, especially when somebody like Rex Tillerson is all of a sudden pro-gay, not all of a sudden, but is in a generation that you wouldn't expect,
sure.
There's a homo in that family there somewhere.
Yeah, it's where we got home. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is Portman from Ohio, to be.
Yeah.
What is it? Newt Gingrich's daughter is also?
Chaney.
Right. Chaney.
Chaney's daughter... Gingrich's half-sister, who's Kate Clinton.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one.
Didn't know that.
But, Clinton, but that cry of come out wherever you are, this generation of living as we are, as out loud as we possibly can, I think is the Harvey Milk legacy. I think it's going to pay off.
Oh, look at us. We were just making fun of shit, and she brought us back to...
Boom! Back to reality.
Damn it!
Cat slot girls. Machine operator.
And Al's back. Nice. All right.
One-armed bandit.
Oh, you like the one-arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, different. Totally different.
Just totally separate. Guy. Oh.
Oh.
I just wanted to make sure.
Same family.
I think before we get any further into this headline story, I think we're going to have to do this because I have a feeling that this word is going to be important coming up later.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music. And to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down. And make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
We blow. Which, according to some, is an innuendo. I don't see how, but...
Well, well played.
I think that's spit shine on.
I know they have different uniforms, and the wee blows are older.
Well, it's got heels and knee pads. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Wow. They don't give badges, they give sashes. Is that different?
Yeah, exactly, and a napkin. A tissue, I'm sorry.
Well, that handkerchief's got to come in handy at some point.
Exactly. You've got the scarf around your neck.
You got the kerchief there for
You're
a
always
reason.
Prepared.
It's always that I ran into an old friend.
Actually, as
always
I
was prepared.
As I recall how the kerchief went around because...
Was that a cock ring?
No.
Oh, all right.
No.
But as it
he says, tried that,
he says
that
quickly.
Yeah.
But as I recall, you put the kerchief together in the front and it was a triangle in the back. If you just turn it around, it becomes a bib.
Yeah, there you go.
With a little,
or in a jaunty way off to the side that says, "This is my airline."
Well, no, then you become Charles Nelson Riley and you own a boat.
On Love American style.
And Brett Summers is with you on a boat.
Trying to do the dirty with Brett Summers, exactly. Is our demographic just age 50 years?
It's all right.
True. God.
Does anybody know what this is?
Nope. Blow?
No, it's not a
weed
blow.
We don't fall down.
The way prison.
Oh, it's
the way prisoners
ass.
Wear their shorts.
Well, a Mississippi lawmaker has decided
that it's a lucky ass.
A Mississippi lawmaker has decided he does not want to see your underwear or anybody's underwear, for that matter. Tom Weathersby, who is this, I'm sure, level-headed white middle-aged American. He's a Republican serving in the state's house. That would be in Mississippi, state's House of Representatives. He has proposed a law that could lead to fines and even counseling for people who wear sagging pants or a style in which pants hang so low that your underwear is exposed. Quoting him, personally, I like to see people dressed when they're in public, and I like to see people with their pants up.
No. Nope.
I was never a wee blow, he said.
Swear to Christ, never a wee blow.
Whether... Weathersby's bill introduced last week.
I'm drinking on this one.
He would make it unlawful for any. It would make it unlawful for any person to wear pants, shorts, or clothing bottoms that exposes the underwear or body parts in an indecent or vulgar manner. The penalty for the first offense of the non-criminal citation is a warning, and for juveniles, notifying their parents or guardians. After that, fines begin at $20 for a second offense and run up to $100 for the sixth offense. That sixth offense would also include psychological and social counseling by the Department of Health and Human Services. Both departments have faced budget cuts and staff shortages in recent years in Mississippi. Weathersby's bill does not include funding for either department, of course, in order to counsel people on wearing saggy pants. Several other communities have banned saggy pants over the years, including Opa-locka, Florida, Wildwood, New Jersey. In 2015, four high school students in Tennessee were charged with indecent exposure. I remember this. And two were jailed for wearing saggy pants.
It depends on what you're showing. And I just showed you a picture because it just came up in fashion. So
you sent me a picture?
Yeah, I just sent you a picture a second ago for you to put up for the viewers because we'll go to fashion police. The one thing is, like, if you show, like, the underwear band, like, there's that way to kind of wear your jeans in a jaunty way, just slightly lower than your underwear so people can see that you spent way too much on a basic foundation garment.
Right.
Which I do not understand. But then there's the
ones...
And
yet, appreciate if done appropriately.
Right. Because that's how I let... I had to have someone spell out to exist to me because I didn't know what the fuck... But then there's the ones that are, like, all the way down past their ass. So, like, you're looking at someone's see-through white underwear.
Yeah.
Not an entirely unpleasant situation. I'm not going to say. Or I'm going to say. Did I say it? I said it.
Okay, so what about this?
So, so Kate Hudson at the SAG Awards did this little goth number, and it was right off the runway. They had changed a little bit of the bottom panel so that it didn't have another band. Like, there wasn't, like, a peekaboo part a little bit lower. But if you look, you can see her an underwear band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's wearing that with men's underwear under a couture dress, and it's how it's supposed to be worn. It was how it was worn on the runway. And I'm like...
Oh. What are you doing? What's...
I don't know. At some point, I told my phone to play The Head and the Heart. So... But it was just one of those things where, and I had to agree with the fashion police, like, why are we looking at men's underwear under this dress? Like, why, God, why? Like, so there you go. So this whole thing, like, somebody put her away. I love her. And I think it looks pretty good.
Oh, and in fact, if you zoom in closer, which I realized, if you zoom in, there's the waistband of the underwear.
Right, that's what I'm saying. She's wearing men's Dior underwear.
That was the focus point of the,
but
my
I didn't,
whole picture.
I couldn't see it that far out. I couldn't see it.
So that's the thing, is that she's wearing Dior men's boxers. Or who knows, it could be tidy whities, but she's wearing them underneath and showing them through a couture dress, which is how it was designed. Like, that's how it walked the runway. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I don't think Tim Gunn would ever let that off the out of the project.
He'd say that it didn't work.
Project
runway. Onto the runway.
Right, but what's the
out
room?
Of the workroom.
The workroom.
Yeah.
I don't think he
I don't
would
know.
Ever.
It was just a weird thing that I'm like, okay, now we're going in reverse. Now that's going to, like, women showing men's underwear under
now,
a couture dress.
It might be a...
Listen, that's been a thing at the Cashing Country.
Yeah. Ooh, that
for
reminds
a really
me of something.
Long
write
time.
That down.
Well, that's because the Weeblow Scout is there helping them dress.
Now, this might be it might be an urban myth, but if I'm not mistaken, that whole bullshit, and I don't care for it either. I mean, unless the guy's got a really cute butt. But I don't. This whole style of wearing your underwear down, didn't that? It's in prison.
Yeah.
That's
so it signaled other inmates that you were willing to have sex with other inmates. That's how that started.
I understand it.
I don't know if that's I don't know if that's an urban legend or if it's true.
Because that's what the big joke is that they tell kids.
Right. They all think it's cool to do it, but do you realize what you're signaling?
Right.
And in some cases, it's accurate.
Correct.
I'm just saying. But I don't have any. I don't care for it
and
either.
Some of them are just Weeblos, so they don't do it down there.
I'd rather see somebody in a fully up pair of pants that's just a little tighter than it should be showing. You know what they got to offer. That's my personal thing. Marn, take it away, my dear.
There, you know. Remember,
according
to
Snopes, that is true.
I thought it was true because I heard that on the news. Okay, that Butterfinger thing didn't work out as well as I hoped.
Do you just have a big Butterfinger in the bottom of your coffee?
But I'm going to go get some more coffee and hopefully mix it up.
I think stir vigorously is part of that.
Take the potato masher out.
Get the nougat retriever. How's that for a gay job?
That's
the
nougat retriever.
I'm gonna
corn finder.
I feel like you're reaching
Be
now.
The corn finder.
It has to come organically.
Corn finder. Shucker.
Shucker, I'll allow.
Corn shucker.
You gotta come shucker. At it organically. Yeah. You can't manufacture this.
Shucker.
Yeah.
So wrong.
So there was, you remember the whole bakery thing with the making the cake and the gays and the this and that. Well, here's how the bakery that made Trump's inauguration cake brilliantly trolled him.
I love this.
So,
do we have a picture?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Is it in Clayton McKee's capable hands?
Mm, nope, not yet.
Oh.
Do you want to send it? Well, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
She yells from the kitchen.
Oh.
She yells from the kitchen. Listen to her.
So, anyway, so the inauguration cake was an exact replica of Obama's
eggnog cake.
The inauguration
cake. From the Weeblow Corporation.
And so on Friday, for the Friday of the inauguration, the bakery made that. The bakery that made Obama's cake in 2013.
They were commissioned to make it, right?
They were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they sent out a tweet about it because, you know, our POTUS likes the tweet because that's so fun to say about our president.
Yeah.
The cake on the left, it says, and Kat, do you have it or no?
Because yeah, I can send it.
Okay. Thank you. Because otherwise, I would try to explain it. The cake on the left is the one made for President Obama's inauguration 4 years ago. And the one on the right is Trump's. And they are identical. The tweet sure seemed
it looked just like Skinny and Sweet. Yeah.
The tweet sure seemed like a jab at Trump, but then it turned out the cake was supposed to be a spinning image.
There's your picture
of Obama's cake, and everything is cool. Well, kind of. Buttercream Bake Shop, who was commissioned to make the Trump cake, posted it on an Instagram on Saturday, explaining that they were hired to make an exact replica of Obama's cake. Then they brilliantly trolled him and his homophobic, hate-mongering administration by announcing where all of the proceeds from the cake are going.
That's the best.
And as you scroll down here...
Wait for it.
It says, excited to share the cake we got to make for one of last night's inaugural balls. While we do love catering original designs, when we are asked to duplicate someone else's work, we are thrilled when it is a masterpiece like this one. And it wasn't the same exact. Duff Goldman originally created this for Obama's inauguration 4 years ago, and this year's committee commissioned us to recreate it. Best part is all the profits are being donated to the Human Rights Campaign.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, went to HRC.
That's nice.
Aaron, that is correct, Aaron. The cake, that was a duplicate, yes.
Yep.
The proceeds went to...
The HRC.
Yes.
Yep, went to the Human Rights Campaign. They said one of our favorite charities who we have loved working with over the years. Because basic human rights are something every man, woman, and child, straight, gay, or the rainbow in between, deserve. And I just loved it. I just thought that was fantastic. So 100% of the profits from that cake intended to celebrate the inauguration of a president and vice president with a horrific record on LGBT rights were donated to a pro-LGBT rights group. And that is a jab. I love it.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely.
And the fact that the two boys, as it were, because I mean that literally.
They were Weeblows.
They act. The Weeblows.
The Weeblows.
The Weeblows of Pence and Trump cutting the gay rights cake.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Right.
And they're holding a sword, a Weeblow.
Sword fighting.
And they're sword fighting, but both of them had their hands wrapped around the sword as they cut the cake. And I just
all
love
of
that.
These, if there are no visuals
know,
to that.
I know.
Yeah.
It sounds like a porn is what's happening.
It does. And that's why I think it's fantastic.
It sounds like they're...
Yep. The two boys holding a sword were cutting into the pro-gay cake. Pro-gay rights cake. Whatever.
Oh, Kat, I just realized the picture that I have that's coming up for you in two things later.
Yeah, yeah.
The second one you sent, the first one you sent me.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Just making sure. Oh, no, but I think that's... I love that story. I read that. In fact, I may have thought I was going to do it at one point. We never did, but no, I thought that was a great story. Because I thought to myself, at first when it was out there, I'm like, well, that's interesting. I didn't recognize the cake, and then I started hearing rumors about this cake was a knockoff, and I'm like, Okay, they couldn't even fucking get their own goddamn cake.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But apparently somebody which I don't get, like, somebody liked it enough to think, that's a beautiful, I want a cake that nice.
Right, right.
I don't know, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and the last line, revenge is a dish best served with a side helping of a good cause.
Yeah, no shit.
I had a scoop of ice cream to cut the sweetness.
I know, right? It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
I like it, positively.
My heavens. Well, this story made me laugh, and we have, there's not much to the story, but there's a lot of pictures, and we'll just go through them because it's funny to me. There was a photograph of a recycling bin that bears a similarity to the orange dumpster fire. It had surfaced online, and apparently Reddit users, which is another app that I don't use and don't know anything about, they couldn't
really want to learn. Though. They're very smart there too.
They couldn't resist resharing it. So a ferocious Photoshop battle kind of sprang up from this, and they put hilarious new spins on the already amusing image, which Thomas Regenball took in Paris. Was first posted back in 2014, actually. Let me show you what they've done. It's a so-called recycling bin Trump, and they put him on a horseback with Putin. They put him into the Lego movie. They put him in all kinds of things. So let me show you. This is the original. This is the original. It just happened to be a recycling bin with a yellow top, and it just... It became the dumpster.
Amazing.
That
so,
is really great.
Photoshop people have gone crazy, and they have put it in all kinds of things. Here he is at one of his speeches. And then this, they put him in, I forget what the series is called.
Bob the Builder.
Right, they put him in Bob the Builder. Here, they put him in the Lego movie. So he's part of the...
God.
This thing is awesome.
That's awesome.
They put him in... There's an Amazon box that feels bad for him, I guess. So they're doing that.
Oh, that's great.
Put him in the... This one, Al, I thought you'd get a kick out of because you'll recognize the reference.
I don't.
It's a music video?
Yes. Like,
Money for Nothing in the Chips Are Free.
Dire Straits. I completely blanked on the name of it. Dire Straits, yes.
I did not
put him in that. Obviously, here he is giving a speech.
I want the one... There was the first one that you had up there. I want that one.
Well, I'll give you any of them. there he is actually doing...
I want that one.
Here he is signing. He's drawing the picture of the cat for Cats on this one. I'm sure it's what he's doing there.
I'm sure it's what he's doing.
But this one where they put him on the horseback with Putin. I thought that was fantastic.
Oh my God. That's
Which
funny.
One are you talking about? You talking about this one?
Yeah, I want that one. Send me that one.
Well, I can send you all of them. But yes.
I just want that one. let's edit. Speaking of Project Runway, let's edit your work.
There's that. So that's that story. I just thought that was enjoyable to see that.
That was enjoyable.
Something
I
out of a recycle
it.
Bin. You just happened to see
it. It was from the Weeblow collection.
The Weeblow.
So those are now. What is it, John called those? Those are the bells of innuendo.
The bells of innuendo. There's something about the phrase Weeblow that doesn't leave a lot to innuendo.
No, but I just
it's
love
really
the fact
not
that
a lot. Yeah,
yeah. It's I just kind like of innuend.
The bells. That sounds like a 1950s Christmas movie.
The bells of innuendo. It takes place in Italy.
It's a sequel to It's a Wonderful Life.
A bathhouse in Italy.
Sophia Loren is there.
It's where you find out that every time a bell rings, they're not exactly wings that grow, but something grows.
Something.
Every time a bell rings, an angel takes it up the air.
Wow.
Yes.
We blow in the hell out of it.
Oh, my God.
I have to say, this is the first time that I've used the whole write on screen and it becomes actual words in text. And it's a little slow, but I greatly enjoy it.
But it has to also learn your writing, or do you give it samples and it
I'm not
learns
really
from
sure.
there? Oh, okay. Never mind.
I just started using it.
Okay.
I forgot a space there in the chat room, though.
Oh, you're using it to actually
I'm
post.
Using it right now
oh,
no,
that's
to actually
cool.
do all of the things. I disconnected the keyboard altogether, and now I just write things.
Try to do something. I just want to see you do it. I just want to see how this works. Boom, boom, boom.
Wrote it.
Something. Send it. Look! Oh!
There it is. There it is!
It's fucking magic.
Technology, ladies
For
and
real.
Gentlemen.
That is cool.
That
you
happened.
Literally wrote that.
You saw me write it.
I did. I watched you.
You're
right
a
with my
witness.
Own eyes. coffee is good.
I can write more things.
For real?
Marnie, do you have a story?
I do.
Oh. What happened? What do
that's
you need?
That's my story.
I don't know what happened to it.
More
I don't
things.
Either. So I'm, that's why I'm oh, well, trying can to you, find it right
can you
re-
just
here.
Can you refresh that screen?
Just try.
Oh.
I've been trying. And it just
is the website
on.
Somebody down?
Website down?
I don't think so.
The web is down. The web is down!
No, the web is not down.
So, I am going right here to my phone.
What if we... Do we need, like, a GoFundMe to buy
no,
you a new device?
No, because it was last week. It was
I
perfect.
Changed out that Wi-Fi router. Brand new.
That's okay.
$200,
oh, yeah, the Apple
$200 router. Brand new. Everything worked perfect last week. Everybody, no, you all didn't notice it because everything works perfect for you.
Didn't notice.
Hers worked perfectly.
It was
perfectly
wonderful.
Fine last week.
Yep. And now we're just going
now,
in circles. So I have it right
I'm
going
to blow up that motherfucking
I
MacBook.
I understand.
I hate that.
I understand completely.
You know what's a really fun device?
A Surface, apparently.
It's a Microsoft Surface. I greatly enjoy them.
You can apparently write on it.
Al, you missed it. I'm writing with my own like,
oh, do it
like
again.
A pen.
Do it for him.
Let's do it again. What should I write?
Show me.
So, she just writes. It creates text. Now watch the chat room.
Say, show me. I wrote it just like that. And I tell it to go,
boom.
And look, there it is.
Shut
boom.
The fuck up.
Shut
look
the,
at that.
It happened. That just happened.
That just happened.
It's a miracle.
A true oh blue miracle. Spectacle miracle.
The miracle
take
is you.
Take it, Weeblow. Barry Manilow. Woo! Not Cher.
Gay and Mary.
I like that you all went Cher.
I didn't both go share.
I didn't go share.
Oh, I thought you both
I
did.
I just naturally brushed my hair.
Oh, that's true. My long, luxurious blonde hair. No.
I was exhausted from all of my penmanship.
That's hilarious. So it's no secret that British author J.K. Rowling.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's not going to be.
Tens of people across the world know.
She's not a fan of the dumpster fire or his policies.
Who is?
She says, when a man this ignorant and easy to manipulate gets within sniffing, she had said this in the past, gets within sniffing distance of the nuclear codes, it's everyone's business, she tweeted a month before the 2016 election, defending her habit of using social media to take a stance on controversy surrounding the former reality star. The result of the election didn't stop her from speaking out on the issue she cares about. And Trump's latest executive order that targets Muslims and refugees is no exception. In fact, it's gotten the author into a retweeting kick in which she's shared gems like this. She's been... They don't come up on here. This is exciting. Sorry, guys.
Let me go to my Twitter account and look up J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. I'm so sorry. In between where all the tweets are supposed to be, they're not there on my phone. So I'm like, I don't know. This is exciting. She said some funny shit, though. And,
well,
and, take my word for it.
Is this the DVDs thing?
No, it was about... it was just her going back and forth.
Because she had a nice burn earlier. Somebody... that has since deleted their account, I think.
About the money.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
far
yeah.
as you spent your money, and I still have it.
was referring to an article on Yahoo. So the tweet to J.K. Rowling, which I found funny, says, "Glad I caught this article on Yahoo. I will now burn your books and movies,
right.
too."
That was one
and
of them.
And she responded, "Well, the fumes from the DVDs might be toxic, and I've still got your money, so by all means, borrow
oh!
my money."
She had
we
she,
blow
I
that, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yep. She had a...
You need a match?
Yeah.
She was.
Fuck you.
There was a thing about her sharing recent responses because in 2011, Trump Hotels had tweeted something out that said, "Please share a favorite travel memory." And
oh,
people were responding.
Times, yes.
I was detained in an airport once on the way
either
back from Saudi Arabia.
In an airport or family members that years ago were brought in sent
Trump
back.
Trump Hotels really stepped in it this week with share a travel memory, and they got crucified.
They got screwed.
And there is a movement afoot from internally and externally to change the names of all those hotels and get his name off of them. Because of the abuse that the people working there. And one of the things
sure.
is because you can't reach... There's been a problem reaching the White House, and there's been a problem reaching... Congress, no.
Oh.
Senators lately.
They won't empty their inboxes,
yeah.
and they would prefer that we stop calling. So please don't stop calling.
So don't stop. I know, because I have the one guy in speed dial, and I've been trying for like a week.
finally.
But the funny thing is, so people are calling Trump hotels and leaving their complaints
there. Oh, sure, because he's still tied to them. So if you want to leave a message for the president, why don't you call one of his businesses?
So everyone's been doing it, but they're like, please don't be shitty to the person that answers the phone.
No. Mm-hmm.
Like, say hi and hello to them. Then leave your shitty message.
Well, there was a guy I saw on Twitter today who said he'd called Mar-a-Lago to book 200 rooms for Syrian refugees, and he said they hung up on him.
I would have too, but that's still a good call. That's a real good call.
That's funny.
I'd like to make a reservation for how many? 200. Yeah. When will you come in? Well, they're Syrian refugees. Click.
Yeah. And there's one that, to her, you believe that there is one God good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. S-H-U-T-T-E-R from James, second book of James 19. And she writes back, I think you mean Shudder. Unless there's a biblical character called Shudder, I've forgotten. So she's
out there correcting grammar.
Bit of fun.
Yep. And after the debate, well, there you have it. A highly intelligent, experienced woman just debated a giant orange Twitter egg. Your move, America. And she had put something on. She said, in fact, it's gotten the author into this retweeting kick. And one of the gems that she shared was a number of Americans killed annually by, and it has Islamic jihadist immigrants, two. Far right wing terrorists, five.
That chart's been going everywhere.
That's what
she had up, and George Takei. The number of fatal U.S. terrorist attacks by persons entering the U.S. from the seven banned Muslim majority countries, zero. Stay informed. And so it goes back. I find it odd how the Bible is super relevant if you have to bake a cake for some gays, but not if desperate people need your help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
here's what I love about that chart, probably the most. You know who originated that on Twitter and who everyone's retweeting? Kim Kardashian West.
Yes. That's what it was underneath this.
Oh, because they're from Iran.
Oh, sure.
Aren't they? Aren't they Iranian?
No, they're not.
No,
it's what they call that on...
I forget their nationality. They're
the Shah, Middle Eastern.
Shah's on Sunset was part of that group of them, wasn't it? What is it called?
That's Iran.
Mm-hmm. Right, but wasn't that part of their group when there was a series on one of those stupid shows, a reality show?
Yeah, there was
the Shahs of Sunset, and I thought they were connected to that.
They probably
look at you just
it.
Writing it.
I
Googles
just wrote it.
It
right there. Armenian. They're Armenian.
Armenian.
Okay. Yeah, one of the, when we were talking about the Trump hotel stuff.
My apologies, I did know that.
Because of
the People versus O.J. Simpson.
Had finally come back up. It says, at 18, one of the Twitter tweets that came in, at 18, my father fled the Nazis. Two strangers from a youth hostel put up money for his U.K. visit. They saved his life. So talking about the favorite travel kind of things. When my grandmother came from Aleppo to Ellis Island and was welcomed to make a better life for herself in the U.S.A., pass it on. And you know,
yeah, and there was the big story yesterday that was going around. I think they were in Philadelphia, was the Christian family from Syria. So they're actually being persecuted, and they've spent 15 years being vetted, finally got through, and they got turned away at the border.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, so now you've denied Christians seeking asylum, you know what I mean, just with your blanket ban. And
they'd sold.
But that one trended on, that was like number one on Twitter.
Quit his
yesterday.
Job, sold everything, did all that, got the entire family here, and boom.
Yeah.
What a bunch. Ugh.
The whole thing.
I love how they're all, they've all been saying how wonderfully it was executed, how far it went, and everybody's like, no, it was the most horrible deployment of this, because you gave no specifics about all of the exceptions. Apparently there are exceptions built into it, but nobody bothered to mention any of that.
And that's what we were talking about when we started, that like Obama and Bush wrote some pretty tricky executive orders, but they had, well, in Obama you had a Harvard lawyer, and Obama had, and Bush had some smart cookies on his team that helped get those things through when he signed the executive orders that made them stand up to court challenges. Like, I think Obama only had the one fail. It was something to do with the ACA. That was it, ACA or vote? Like, something that they were kind of disappointed because they really thought they vetted this through. But they wrote this, like, 2 days ago in crayon, and they're like, why isn't that holding up to the judges?
Absolutely.
Well, and there's no... So I truly do think that... Like, this first 2 weeks of agenda is meant to throw off well-meaning people. Yeah. Like, I think it's a flurry of misinformation, bullshit, and none of us, and there's a steep, steep learning curve because we're two generations into ignoring our government entirely. Right. Like, we don't give a shit about these people. They're all corrupt. Mm-hmm. They're never going to help us. Fuck it, right? And we've all, at some point or another, and on some level or another, have believed that.
Sure.
Some of us our whole lives, right? And so now, people are kind of paying attention because, you know...
Well, because
we're,
so many...
We're afraid of what's happening, people, right. So people that wouldn't ordinarily, with a... Like, if John McCain had won instead of the dumpster fire, we'd have all gone, oh, fuck.
Oh, and gone
about our daily lives, and we wouldn't be calling, we wouldn't be writing letters, we wouldn't be anything, right? So there's got to be somebody smart somewhere going, hang on, here's what we're going to do. We're going to overwhelm these motherfuckers.
Yeah. And hopefully his name isn't Steve Bannon.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
No, it is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Because we'd have to call him smart.
No,
crafty.
He's
deviant.
Every Scooby-Doo villain was smart until
if it weren't for these meddling kids.
Yep. Right, and they want they want these meddling kids.
The
Weeblos
got involved and shut them
so
down.
There's so much going on that you're overwhelmed, and you're like, I have to fight that.
Because go around the table, like how news exhausted,
right? And they're able to do this big thing over here.
Yeah,
then they're like,
right,
you didn't find.
And there's a lot of
bait and switch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there are, I think I've read 3 articles today that are suggesting that this whole, like, travel executive order, because I read the fucking thing, it's boring as hell, and it's written like a third grader was trying to write legal information.
Legalese.
Yeah.
Ugh. And as it turns out,
like,
I really
go play
hate
with
writing
the typewriter,
legislation.
Donald.
Government for dummies.
Yeah. Go write that. Go write something, Donald.
Yeah.
Right, so it's, but... Yeah.
What is government?
Since we're going to talk about this, where's my page? Wait.
Well, I hope it's
so. There's
Google
a couple
keep.
Things.
Yeah,
it is in my Google Keep, as it turns out.
Look
right
at that.
Here, very handy. So I read the whole thing, and I was struck. I was really struck by two clauses. The first one is really like post 9/11. Like, I feel like if I'd ever read the Patriot Act, that this was probably plagiarized out of there, because it says, like, in the very top, the very like second paragraph of the executive order says, in order to protect Americans, the United States must ensure that those admitted to this country do not bear hostile attitudes toward it and its founding principles. The United States cannot and should not admit those who do not support the Constitution or those who would place violent ideologies over American law. In addition, the United States should not admit those who engage in acts of bigotry or hatred, parenthetically, including honor killings, other forms of violence against women, or the persecution of those who practice religions different from their own, end parentheses, or those who would oppress Americans of any race, gender, or sexual orientation. Right? Who can't get behind that?
Right. It sounds perfect.
Sounds 100% plausible. And actually, when you go read the thing, it doesn't sound
awful.
Too terribly awful. Okay. Right? You read the whole thing, it's all about putting a 90-day pause on people entering the country until we can work with their country of origin to get more information about people who are applying for visas. Like, that's most of the executive order. There was a little part that really, like, weirded me out. About, of all things, biometrics.
Oh.
I know. Okay. Biometrics is this thing where something very physical and very unique about you is recorded.
Fingerprints, eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your fingerprint or a retinal scan or whatever else they've come up with. I don't really follow biometrics very closely because the whole thing kind of creeps me out.
Right.
Like, I'm really...
Cut out an eyeball and...
Well, and I've seen a lot of those. I've seen a lot of those shows where they're chopping off thumbs and pulling out eyeballs to get into the
For
safe.
Those of you who don't know what biometrics are, to simplify it, a lot of the phones, iPhone in particular, you can record your thumbprint, fingerprint, and it will then let you have access to the phone. That is a biometric technology. Continue on.
And so, within this executive order, this part kind of creeped me out. It said, Section 7. Is the expedited completion of the biometric entry-exit tracking system. The Secretary of Homeland Security shall expedite the completion and implementation of a biometric entry-exit tracking system for all travelers to the United States, as recommended by the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks. And the Secretary of Homeland Security shall submit to the President periodic reports on the progress of the directive contained in subsection blah of blah, 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 blah. Like, just the fact that, like, why sneak biometrics in there? What are we doing here?
Include face recognition, doesn't it?
I would assume
that technology.
So.
Because one of the things that, I mean, this has been going on for years, that they keep using the technology of face recognition, like in places where, you know, hundreds of people, like the boardwalk in Santa Monica and all that kind of, they just have cameras and they continue to scan and they're looking for faces in the crowd that are recognized and known to be, you know, murderers or convicts.
I've seen lots of CSI. I've seen lots of NCIS. I've seen lots of Criminal Minds. Like, I get that that's probably already out there, but I'm like, wait a minute, what are we?
Right,
what are we really getting at? Right, and while the protesting is awesome, and don't stop doing it. If you're showing up to them, keep showing up to them. Don't stop.
Yeah, I want to go to the DC one for Pride Weekend.
The Pride Weekend one.
Yeah,
I wonder if I can get away. We'll talk about that. Maybe we should go. Why not?
When is there Pride?
It's the real Pride Weekend. It's like June, the weekend of June 24th. Because they're expecting there to be, the next executive order is going to be against gays. So they're already planning the protest.
Yeah, although there
was something just released.
The hypotheticals that I've been reading, and I think they released something tonight.
They did.
We'll look into that.
Federal workers.
Where was I going?
Do they lose their spousal benefits?
No, they're able to keep them. No, he's going to keep them.
Stay intact. Everything that Obama had put in would stay intact with regards to that.
For now.
Right. But no, absolutely.
Continue on.
Because I think it's another slide.
Facial recognition biometrics.
In any event, so I eventually, like, I've been kind of watching, and I haven't been commenting on this particular executive order because I hadn't had the time to sit down and actually read it.
Sure.
Right? Because all I keep
seeing... You're busy doing other shit.
Well, I'm very busy making chicken soup. Very busy.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
These things are important. Yeah. People, you have to feed yourselves too. It's important. Mm-hmm. Step away from the Facebook. Make some chicken soup. But, so I finally got to read it today, and I finished reading it, like, through the first time. And it's like legalese and it's jumbly, and it refers to shit that you can't see in section A of blah, 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 and code blah, blah, blah of this statute, and you get kind of lost in that, right? But the first read through, I was like, wait a minute. It said nothing about Muslims. So I did the fancy search the webpage thing that you taught me. Mm-hmm. I did fine. Nope, Muslim not mentioned in there at all. Mm-hmm. All right. There are a couple of things that are true. Number one, the dumpster fire promised to ban Muslims. Mm-hmm. And so that's a pretty good first step. Mm-hmm. So we can still call it a Muslim ban, I think. Because he called it a Muslim ban.
Right.
He used the term ban.
Yep. Right. Now we can call it that.
Even though Spicy said that he's only using the word ban because the media is using that fucking funny shit.
Yeah. We need to get that little
clip. I do. I meant to do it tonight. But he said, I liked how he told one of the NBC reporters, it may have been Katie Turr, that he's only using ban because the media is using ban.
Right.
But she's like, but they're his words. Right. Like,
that's right.
I just thought it was funny.
This is what he promised. This is what he's implementing with presumably this intent. And then he went and confirmed it out loud on cameras. We're going to go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
It's a ban.
Like a duck, smells like a duck.
Right.
Whoever wrote it may not have written the executive ban or the executive order with that in mind, but the president's going to treat it like that. Right. The news is going to treat it like that. We're just going to go ahead and treat it like that. And then so I read the thing and I'm like, all right, well, not amazing, but I kind of see where somebody might get on board with this, right? It's very post 9/11. It's very, you know, other people bad, Americans good.
Yeah.
Which I personally ideologically don't really believe in, but I get it.
Okay.
Right? And I know that there are people in the world that work jobs that I can't possibly understand that, you know, lay awake at night trying to prevent terrible things from happening to Americans. Sure. And they probably think about these kind of things and maybe not this particular executive order, but this general branch of government exists and probably does things that I have no idea about, right? And I lost where I was going again.
Hang on, I'm just going to do this because you said it to me.
I'm spicy! That is all... That commercial is amazing. We need that clip at all times. Every time we say Spicy's name,
I'm spicy.
It needs to just be, I'm spicy.
Fucking funny. Fantastic. You sent that today. First thing I thought was, how the fuck does she remember all this shit's out there? Too funny.
Because of the brain. But then I wonder, then I read this thing and I go, okay, and this is what's been happening on my newsfeed and this is what I've been seeing. what's actually happening? Like, this is really kind of much ado about nothing, sure. Right? Because it's already incredibly hard to get a visa to the United States. Mm-hmm. They walked it back with green cards. Like, some people were detained. But in the really big picture, I'm like, wait. Because I constantly feel like I'm being bait and switched.
Right.
Like, all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're still kind of falling for it. And I have some things and two things to that effect. But I feel like we're still kind of falling for it. Because we're on such a steep learning curve, I feel like we're not quite getting it yet. We have good intentions. We think we know what to do, but we're not quite there yet.
Well, and exactly
did
what you
have
said
a good
from
breakfast
the beginning.
Today?
I ate this morning.
What? Eat a good breakfast every day.
Yeah, no, you said before, but I don't like breakfast.
I don't care. Eat something.
The fuck does that have to do with what I'm saying?
Because it's going to be a really fucking long 4 years, and you need to...
I got lost.
I was so confused. I'm like, what? I have to remember that, too?
It's really impactful.
I don't know.
Yeah, really impactful.
But when they're... From the get, it was just kind of like this dumpster.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just kind of came and went...
Yep.
And just dumped.
And in the beginning, like this first 100 days, this first probably year... It's going to feel like the world is falling apart around us because it kind of is, and we don't know what to do, and we're not organized and ready to figure it out.
But I think it's a little bit past that because
there's no one standing up for our democracy.
There's no beacon. Right.
There's no one standing up saying it's not what we believe in. Stop that. Like Paul Ryan caved completely today on TV.
Shocking. Oh, totally.
But when you
did you see the Wikipedia thing?
When you have all of these things and people like all of a sudden are just scattering. Right? And everyone's running from point A to point B to point C to point D, and nobody is kind of, we're all fighting for these same things, and everything is chaotic. That's when they go and implement things because no one has their head about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, will it be the first 100 days? I think it'll be a whole hell of a lot less than that.
Oh, I do too.
You know, where it's like this kind of, this big, huge, these, a lot of big things are happening, but because there are so many of them going on.
They fired the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Right. Well, and get rid of the Attorney General because she doesn't agree with me. She didn't play right in the sandbox.
But in their defense, that was an interim post set up by Obama. And it was at his, and she does serve at the president's pleasure. So he could put in his own interim person. Mm-hmm. That was,
Right, he had asked her to stay on.
She was going to go at any point during the continuum.
Right. Right, but she doesn't agree with me and doesn't play with the toys right in the sandbox, so she has to go now.
And now if he gets rid of Jeff Sessions because of that, that would be different because that's a permanent position. But getting rid of the interim person and putting in your own interim person, not that, that yesterday everybody got all outraged about that. It's not the actual AG. It's just.
Okay. I think it's the statement that they made about her that really bugs me because it
was something that they said
defiance?
About. She didn't listen. She would not perform.
I mean, the word was defiant. They, you're right, though, Kat. The way they phrased it was a little bit odd.
Again,
and Spicy said it today.
As far as politics,
Spicy is the most punchable person in America.
Yes, he is. A little prick.
Handled poorly, but policy wise. Anyone would have done it.
Okay.
Spicy.
Anyone would have, because it's not a confirmed AG. Like that really, that was one of those ones where, like, you're getting your panties in a bunch over the wrong thing. He should have picked his own. He should have taken
Well, and he should have quietly dismissed her and put his own person in there before all this fucking shit happened.
Right. Exactly. He should have done it January 20th.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
He agreed to it. But again.
But what I thought is that they kept her on for something like this. And then this is my just projecting.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's a little dog and pony show because it's like, see, you don't agree with me? I'm going to fucking get rid of you. Watch how powerful I am.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. You're fucking idiot.
He's sending some message to the Supreme Court. They're staying, buddy. Exactly, you don't get to fire them.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't get the RBG, he doesn't get to fuck with her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, she's not gonna. She's not gonna take that.
And in finishing just this thing with Rowling, because this was the one that I wanted to
we're
share.
Still on that story.
Oh yeah, funny. Right there.
I'm gonna finish it because it came up on Monday. Yesterday, she tweeted.
I admire your dedication.
A Winston Churchill quote after receiving a number of hateful messages. She said, "You have enemies. Good. It means you've stood up for something sometime in your life." Winston Churchill. And she got the trolling response from Frogulous Pepe, which is that fucking nasty. Anyway, quote, very fitting to @RealDonaldTrump. He stands up for something very, very good. And you are his enemy, Mrs. Shitty Writer. For fucking real. That's what it says.
Shitty Writer.
But Rowling, Mrs. Shitty Writer to you.
Oh, thank you. An honorific is important.
I know. But Rowling's not afraid of a duel. She hit right back. Sighs. Well, who knows? If I try harder, I might be reincarnated as a lonely virgin hiding behind a cartoon frog. And it was there that I was like, just drop the mic and walk away. Good for her.
That's a lonely frog.
All of that, that's what's hiding behind those things, though. These people that are just like angry and nasty and bleh. So I'm have to follow J.K. Rowling now.
Yeah,
she's just brilliant.
Because I read two of them and I was like, we're in.
Yeah.
Because Stephen King, King and basically Do No Wrong in My World. And because of his writings and his... just kind of the general sense of how you think he must feel because the characters he writes, I was always so afraid he was going to turn out to be like a fucking Republican.
Sure.
Oh, well,
not even a little bit.
And he may be, but God, does he spend a lot of time bitching about the dumpster fire?
No,
and
I don't believe he is.
Very witty about it.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Stephen King. So it is my great pleasure to follow Stephen King and read his business.
Business.
There was a.
Because I said, we blow!
Woo!
There was a,
I almost want to add that to the list. Read his business.
There was a quote.
Read his business.
Speaking of spicy, there was a quote today. I mentioned this to Marnie earlier when I was at her house. I'm trying to find out if he actually said it, but I'm not willing to rewatch the press conference today to find out. The quote was put on Facebook, and I was tagged in it. This is because I was making comments about spicy. His quote was, the president has been very clear about being unclear.
Yes.
And I'm, huh? I just thought that was fantastic because
exactly.
He's that fucking stupid. He's been very clear about being unclear. Well, he is very unclear.
That's your audience.
Right.
He's working it well.
You're playing to your, well, he's clear about being unclear. You know you're going to sit at a dinner party and hear someone say that to you.
Yeah.
Well, he's clear about being unclear. And they'll have that look on their face like they just told you Santa was white. And you're going to be like,
Santa just is white.
I'm going to have to put a fork in your eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling we might have to, at some point, we might not be able to use the Santa just is white anymore because if she's crossing over to NBC, and if we decide we like her because she doesn't have the assholes of Roger Ailes and everybody at Fox behind her,
the puppeteer's hands are out of
we
her
might
ass.
Have to take that. We have, I, just out of, if we decide we like her, I'm going to quit using that.
But she,
I feel like no, I've seen I feel her like she has to own it.
Because wasn't she Fox and Friends?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that her, Contessa?
Well, she started...
Well, she had interchangeable blocks up there. She had the Kelly file.
Yeah,
Kelly file. I don't know that she was ever on Fox and Friends.
I feel like she was the start of Fox and Friends.
Maybe she started there and then migrated over because Hasselbeck came in.
Yeah, and I feel like she took over
from... Gretchen was with Fox and Friends.
Oh, maybe that's the
Gretchen Carlson?
Thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's awful.
Gretchen Carlson.
Not related. Not related.
No. Gretchen Carlson is another blonde, the one who sued.
Oh yeah, they're all blonde.
Oh, yeah.
You can't sit in the between those two idiots and
blonde. Carlson's the one that got rid of Roger Ailes. It was because
right. But I think she was one of the blondes.
Oh,
that
she
sat
absolutely
between the two.
Was. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You know the word I was trying to use, but I
yeah. Thank you. You're very kind.
We blow, but we don't fall down.
We both wobble, but they don't fall down. Are you looking for that quote, or what are you looking for?
Oh, I looked for it, and I couldn't find it.
I don't know if it's a legitimate quote or not, but apparently something to that effect is what he said in a news conference. I'm like, wow.
I couldn't find anything on it.
We'll get back to I had
a friend yesterday who put a picture of like, this is JFK while they're holding Muslims, and this is the protest at JFK while Christians were being slaughtered in foreign countries. I'm like, well, why would you protest that at JFK? Like, why would what's the apples to apples on that one? Like, there's actual people being detained in JFK. That's where you
literally
go to bring
at the airport in handcuffs in a back room somewhere.
So your other one does it, and I was just like, you know what? Stop making excuses for the dumpster fire.
Somebody else made a comment today. Again, Twitter has just been a...
We rely on Matt Marotska's family. Isn't it terrible? That all of us have been reduced to, like, just reading Matt Marotska's family's horrible comments because everybody else has deleted.
They're a lot of fun, though.
Somebody else on the Twitter today was talking about Spicy, and they illustrated the fact by his own tweets that, remember, he came out and basically said that everybody... And again, I'm going to paraphrase. When this all happened, he basically told everybody that was being detained to just calm down. Mm-hmm. And like just to take it easy or whatever. They posted multiple tweets because he apparently goes through every fucking airport and bitches about every fucking thing. Anytime he has to, he's delayed for something, a security line is long, something about a flight time. He bitches continually about how being in an airport or being stuck in an airport is a horrible thing. Yet he just wants everybody else that's being detained just to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
I thought it was also funny, that little dumbass. And it just cracks me up that... They
and
don't
the fact that you could hate somebody more than Kellyanne Conway in 8 days
is
a miracle.
Well, because we haven't seen her as much.
Yeah. No. But just the fact that she's been working at getting us to call her a cunt for like 500 days. Oh, yeah. This fucker comes in 8 days, and I already am like, yep.
Maybe there will be a day, and I will love it, the day that maybe Spicy's sick, and they make Kellyanne fill in and do the press. Oh, that would be fantastic.
See, there's speculation that she wants that job, and so she's throwing him under the bus as much as possible.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine her doing that?
Oh, and how we didn't talk. Well, we didn't.
It's
talk about
like
last
an
week.
Episode out of the Tales from the Crypt.
You can't even write. You couldn't write this stuff. You
absolutely. Just,
that show's already been written. Like she's just sitting up there with her skull and her bad hair.
And because I didn't realize I'd missed two SNLs, I thought I only missed one, and the one was horrible. The one with January Jones.
No, we talked about that last week.
Abominable.
Yeah.
But the one with Aziz Ansari.
His monologue was fantastic.
No, but that whole
Ansari. Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
His that whole show.
It was good. I watched it too.
That's the one with the Conway number in it, right?
Oh my god.
Yes.
But her as Roxy Hart.
Yes.
It's going over like gangbusters at the
bar. Fantastic.
Let me tell you
it's brilliant.
Because
you can't watch it enough.
Oh no.
It's
spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would like to have been in the meeting when somebody's like, I have an idea. Do you think this would work? And they float out and everybody's like, because she was like, oh my god, that's fabulous.
I mean, and the shot for shot, like.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Parody
it's so good.
Of the number. And you could just see, like, mixing it in with Roxy Hart. Like, if somebody had the editing capabilities, it would be really good.
In fairness, depending on how they would have spun it, they actually could have also used Clinton. She could have also done the same Roxy Hart thing, but done Clinton instead of Conway.
Oh, I know, but it was just.
Oh, no, it is. It's fantastic.
Because Roxy Hart is slimy.
Oh, no, no. I understand.
She wants to be famous.
So, that's not lost on me.
But SNL likes Clinton too much to say something that shitty about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to have a slime to you.
Gotta be Conway. God damn it. I love. But that's showbiz.
A whole bunch of them.
I did enjoy it. All right, we got a couple more stories to get through, and then it's going to be entertainment with Al.
And then we blow.
An Arizona, a little closer to home.
Delicious. I need more excuses to drink it fast.
An Arizona woman got quite a surprise when she tried to change the battery in a hallway smoke detector.
Sorry, honey.
At her Scottsdale home a few nights ago. The device she found was covered with honey, and I will show you a picture of said smoke detector.
Oh.
She says, I'm like, huh, how the hell does honey get there?
Oh,
Kelsey Hughes said, oh no.
Many bees.
Then she's like, well, if it traveled this far, where did it come from and how many bees are in the attic? Hughes decided to do some investigating, so she climbed into the attic herself, took some pictures, and looked around. What she found was a lot of honey, long rows of it running down the beams in the attic. But apparently there were 5 to 6 pounds of honey in the ceiling, she said. That equates to about 60 to 70,000 bees that would have been in the active hive. It's terrifying, she says, to even comprehend those kind of bees. Upon closer inspection, Hughes...
They're not in this house, Alex.
She also found dozens of dead bees, an indication that the hive is no longer active. Apparently what had happened is the previous homeowner hired an exterminator to kill the bees before the house was sold, but they never removed the hive. The concerned mom is relieved that her family is not in any danger, but disappointed to find that the beehive was not removed. She says, as a mother of somebody that has seen Africanized bee incidents in Arizona, I'm happy we don't have to deal with the hive being an active hive. She estimates the cost will be thousands of dollars to tear out the drywall, the ceiling, and to clean up all the honey in the house. Wow.
Yeah, hi, Roaches.
I mean, Yeah.
I mean, you would think that that would just be
so at least many the things bees in are that gone. Story.
But that happens.
No, absolutely. But
I have bees in the chimney right now. That
oh, look it. He's getting a bee leaving.
Is that a Nicki Minaj song?
I got bees in my chimney.
We blow.
Bees in the trap.
Yeah, but they're active.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They're very busy.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
I let them go.
We need
bees. In fact,
that's making the list.
They
bees in golf, my chimney.
They horseback ride. I don't, they play tennis.
I don't know what
active.
It would cost, but I think it would be kind of neat to even have a hive in the backyard that were active bees because you can get honey. Because I just figured out, Jesus Christ, honey is expensive at the
very
store.
Very expensive.
Well, there are encouragements for this because of the death of the bee population. Right. That in especially in New York City, they're really pushing for people to have
hives on the roof,
and they're trying to encourage people to like stop calling exterminators, make sure that the bees aren't dangerous, and go through the process
to move
of having the hive stay in your yard.
Oh,
and I love and my favorite thing of all because I hate people is.
That's
people
a segue.
That plant flowers everywhere, and then they're like, I hate bees. Then why did you plant flowers?
Right.
And it's a conversation I've had with people over and over again.
Neighbor across the street calls me the other day. She's like, do you know any good exterminators? I'm like, well, why? She goes, well, I have a bee problem in my backyard. They're apparently, she has a hot tub, and they're getting in, like where the cover goes, they're getting in through the little side.
And that's where you don't want them.
They're looking for water. But to add to this, I didn't realize the irony is her name is Bee.
Yeah. Oh.
She has bees everywhere, like little stuffed animals and little things. Her license plate says Bee. The whole thing. She's deathly allergic to them. She has a citrus tree in her backyard. Guess what? They're all over that fucking tree.
Like, yeah, because of the blooms.
And I just think it's the irony just is so.
And that's one of those things. Then don't bring things.
Right.
Don't put the milkshake out that brings all the bees to the yard.
Yeah,
you know
I want to get rid of that fucking
that's
tree.
For you.
Anyway. But I didn't realize.
She's not even listening. I make the worst pun in 20 years.
Yeah, that's
that one
I
was
just
really
read
bad.
Something about Jerry Falwell. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, he sucked a dick.
Why?
He's a weeblow?
No,
is he a weeblow?
Jerry Falwell Jr. was asked to lead Trump Education Task Force.
Yeah.
That feels appropriate.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. That feels like,
I'm legitimately willing to believe anything.
Spot.
You don't listen to a friend of mine today.
That's why I didn't hear a goddamn thing you just said.
And
if
I could just
go ahead.
Weeblow
on
my
feet one more time. You just stand gently.
You're working
your
too
feet.
Hard. You're working too hard for it. It's not making the list.
Nice hair. You have nice hair.
So if you go over and get honey from Bee, if you go over there and get honey out of a hive from her backyard, it will help. Allegedly. Now, I don't always buy this, but I've heard it enough times now that I think it's worth investigating. But if you get bee from her honey from her yard, it will help with your any kind of like. Yeah. Allergies to local pollens and stuff.
And I believe that because it's a very homeopathic version of the injections that people get to help alleviate their allergies.
Yeah.
So one of my kids actually does that. We go, we're up to once a month now because they do like a little injection of whatever the fuck you're allergic to. They give it to you.
And they increase it's a
tolerance thing, right?
Sure.
And they do it, and you have to start it young, though. The thing with the injections that it has to start really young. But if you have seasonal allergies or flowers, allegedly ingesting the honey of what's growing
it's
around
local.
You, it's local.
But it has to be kind of like the injections. It has to be long-term. Like, you have to do it over a long period of time. You have to literally put honey in something every day.
Every day,
But it has to be, here's a couple of things. It has to be local, organic honey. It can't be processed or pasteurized.
Right.
It can't be out of the bear at the store, as cute as he is. I love him very much. But
It has to be from a local vendor, and you want them to be as close to the plants that you're sneezing
honey.
At. Yeah.
Right.
That's why you would go across the hall and scrape the stuff off her wall.
Yeah.
Because.
Wow. We blow.
Wow.
There you have.
No, but it goes along.
I got
to
get in the hot tub and just blow bubbles.
They call
that
a BNC.
But it goes along. It goes along with the same thing that you've talked about before with regards to local food.
Yeah.
If you eat food like beef that's raised locally and it eats and breathes all the same air and eats the grass, the local. Like,
and even better if they're taking the same antibiotics for the clap. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you're eating from your local, you're going to be immune to.
It helps.
Adverse
it does,
things
it
locally.
Does helps with immunity. And like I said, that's one of those things that I've never read anything that said it was tested and proven, but so many people believe it, and you hear about people that go to the farmer's market and get the honey, and they actually ask, like, are you from this part of town? Are you from that part of town? And you hear about it quite a lot. And yes, and like in Aaron's case, where you're doing something with immune suppressants because of he's trying to avoid organ rejection, you absolutely want to stay away from fresh cut flowers. You want to stay away from fresh flowers. You want to stay away from anything that could be turned into an airborne or something raw that's not pasteurized. You want the bacteria killed in those circumstances. So you gotta pick and choose your battles.
You're a pretty small demographic though, there, Aaron. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is one of those things.
Fortunately, you are.
Because like, I work in an ICU, and there's all kinds of stuff that can't pass the threshold of that ICU because we don't need that in there.
Sure.
Oh, of course not. Maren, do you have one more?
I do. Since, you know, we're all gay and it's a gay podcast, we should do something about the gays.
Well, we blow. Isn't that enough?
Sorry!
Next caller.
I'm going to use this.
I'm all about the B and C.
But to diminishing returns.
Wow.
I didn't think I'd be able to work that into a conversation within 24 hours of hearing it.
Diminishing returns.
But you did.
But I did.
But you did.
Do you want to contribute to gay rights? I already did. And to diminishing returns.
Sounds like Karen Walker.
That's because I said it. But the original text didn't read like her.
Oh. Trunk.
Or treat.
Trump continues Obama order protecting LGBTQ federal workers, as we had brought up earlier. An executive order protecting federal employees from anti-LGBTQ discrimination that was first signed by Obama in 14 will continue under Trump. He said that he's determined to protect the rights of all Americans, including the LGBTQ community. That's what the White House said in a statement, at which point I thought, that's a bunch of fucking happy
shit. You know why? There's no money in it.
What? No.
There's
money
no money to be made by stomping on the gays. That's the just a bad PR move. There's no money in it. Yet.
I was going to say, I'm like, I don't put past him. Anyway, the order extended protections that had been signed in 2014 against discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity and was predicated on previous executive orders under Nixon and Clinton that created additional protected classes but had not included LGBTQ community. And this should just tell us right here, guys, completely tell us. The log cabin Republicans praised the decision
Fuck
Tuesday,
those people. I
calling
hate those people.
Trump a real friend. They blow. I mean, we blow.
Oh,
I mean, for fucking
log
real.
Log cabin Republicans. Suck my dick.
Calling Trump a real friend. Sure he is.
Thank you for being a friend.
Do not.
Don't. No.
Do not sully 3 out of 4 dead women's memory.
Donald Trump campaigned promising to be, quote, a real friend to the LGBT community. And now President Trump is delivering on that commitment.
Nobody
Does it weirdly feel like they made a list of all of the stupid shit he said at campaign and they're just checking them off?
Right. Oh, I absolutely agree.
I hope
that
at some point he actually said publicly, nobody gets behind the gays like I do.
I do.
I hope there
I'm
is.
I'm pretty sure that was
Oh, my
that was
God,
Alex
that's
Baldwin.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
And you know what happens? He walks into a bar and he picks out guys like this. He's like, you. Thank you. You.
China.
That's how you say China.
China.
That's how it's pronounced.
The HRC, and I don't mean Hillary, later Tuesday had said, you know, he's done nothing to undermine equality since he set foot in the White House. So we're going to just kind of wait. You know, we're waiting to see what this looks like. And, you know, the HRC, just like Kat was saying earlier, and we all mentioned just kind of like, well, we'll see how long that lasts, you know. We'll see how much he's can continue that. So we call on Donald Trump to reject any and all attempts to give license to discriminate, HRC said. So when Donald Trump attacks one of us, he's going to hear from all of us. So
yes,
hopefully that is the case. Hopefully that's the case. So
And I do have to say, in his defense, and not to quote the log cabin Republicans that I really hate more than just about anybody.
Hate.
And hate's the right word for this one. that he really did, until the Pence thing, the one group that he kind of just stayed away from
was the most.
Was the most. Like, he really... That was the only time he tread carefully through the Bible Belt. I mean, he did stick in all the states that we thought he shouldn't campaign in, like Michigan.
He stuck it in.
But he did campaign a lot in Michigan and Pennsylvania that had more progressive laws. So it seemed like a place to maybe leave that topic alone, like, you know, but because he didn't campaign where we thought he would campaign.
Right.
You know what I mean? We thought he would stick to red states, but he really did effectively go into Pennsylvania and Michigan a lot. And I think maybe it just never played to the right narrative. I don't know.
And that's a really good point, because he's like really playing to his audience all the time.
Yeah, and that one just never made it there. You know, he did campaigns in New York a lot too, and it's definitely not going to play there, because was passed by a largely Republican. New York State has a largely Republican state.
Because personal freedom is a Republican fucking thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First of all, like, personal freedom, stay out of my business, stay out of my house, stay out of my bedroom, stay out of my gun locker. Like, those are all really Republican things. Gay rights should be a Republican thing. Abortion should be a Republican thing.
Yeah, but they also have the...
Jesus.
The Jesus on the side. And that's...
And Jesus had so much to say about gays. I mean, you got to read up on it.
He really did. I think it was almost one word.
He protested at every march. protested at every parade.
Well, he hung out with them.
Yeah.
And literally.
Huh? I like the parades. I hope we get invited back to the parade.
Oh, jeez. We are.
I'm going to make it so. Oh, we are?
Okay, I already confirmed that.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I just thought that was understood. I did my bad.
Well, I thought too, but you never know.
That was the reason for the phone call, but I slipped it into the conversation to make sure that we were on board. Since I got screwed out of the HRC thing this year.
Fuckers,
indeed.
Carry on.
God damn, is this like what I had for breakfast? I'm so confused again.
Side conversation.
By the way, you didn't answer. What did you have for breakfast? I had pancakes and eggs.
How about a big cup of shut the fuck up, Kat? How about that?
If I haven't drank that by now, I'm not gonna, Clayton McKee.
A fucking man. thanks.
I've been trying to feed that to me for 2 years now. I'm not drinking it.
Seriously.
What'd you have for breakfast?
What was the first... Breakfast literally means stop.
Just answer the question, Claire.
No.
What?
Breakfast literally means breaking of a fast. So what was the first meal you ate today?
Good call. It doesn't have to be in the morning.
Pistachios.
Okay, that was your breakfast. That's all you had to say. That's all it is.
I'm into it.
She had nuts for breakfast.
I had sushi for breakfast.
See? Yeah, but you didn't wake up till 5 o'clock.
No, I get up at 1, and by the time I got done like looking at travel logs and blogs and reviews, it was like, nuts. I'm going to go get some.
No wrong answer.
Okay. Sushi. Yeah.
I made an oatmeal smoothie. That's why
a shit what you ate for breakfast. Did you have a good?
Because I wouldn't consider that. Did it work like for breakfast? You? I don't know, but yeah.
However, I do want to go to the Greasy Rail or whatever the fuck it's called and have
the
that.
Brass,
that sounds like
old brass rail.
That sounds like a good deal.
Road trip.
Just fucking Home Depot. It's not far.
It's around the corner from me.
36th and Thomas.
If we do it next Saturday morning, then we can go from the Brass Rail. We can go dive bar to dive bar. Mm. We can go to Brass Rail for breakfast and then Coach House for Parada del Sol next Saturday.
Very good.
We can Uber our way.
Why would we go to Prada del Sol?
Why it's are we an doing annual that on thing Saturday?
Because the Prada del Sol is on Saturday.
Because you go to it. Yeah.
But you said Sunday morning.
No, I can't. I'm not getting up on a Sunday morning. If I'm not working Saturday night, but I work Friday night.
That's why I thought
night.
You got it. Yeah.
But because I'm going to try this year to go to Prada del Sol. I've been strangely neglecting the Prada del Sol. And if you don't know, for those from other parts of the country or world, it is the largest horse parade in the world. It has been a Scottsdale tradition for many, many years.
One of my favorite Weeblo memories.
Yes.
Of that is that Tinseltown was open at the during one of the parades.
Mm-hmm.
And during that 1 year. And as we were standing there handing out refreshments of a non-adult nature, who was the one person who apparently had to go to the bathroom? And asked if he could use our restroom, and I escorted him. Nope. Arpaio.
Shut the fuck up.
So the fact
you
that
touched
Arpaio,
his penis?
No, I didn't.
She didn't hold it for him. The little sheriff?
The little sheriff that could.
The deputy?
I shot the sheriff.
But I did not hold his deputy. I did not hold his deputy. Hell,
I don't even know what this show's about.
So you trotted Arpaio into a gay bar to take a squirt?
Totally, I did.
Take a squirt. Yep. Pop a squat.
Yep.
A lot of things happen.
Drain the lily.
Absolutely.
Oh.
It was fantastic.
So many things.
Lily drainer.
Come on in, Joe.
Trying too hard.
That's a good drag name. What's your name? Lily Drainer.
It works better as a drag name. I'll allow that. But yeah.
That's a whole other list. I can start that one if you like.
That's good stuff.
Lily Holder.
Well.
So,
what is this show about?
Anyways,
Who knows?
Because of my 9 years at the Taco Bell at Scottsdale and Thomas, the parade was a big part of February, and we would always have to deal with that because we would have a huge day, so we had to overstaff for that Saturday.
Because when the parade was done, they just drive the horses to the Taco Bell and just finish them off and make lunch.
Yeah. Delicious ground beef.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Fresher than usual.
So,
got your tostada.
So,
the side of glue.
Without realizing that there was like more fun parts of this, to me, it was just a horrible day of scheduling because we were like so crazy busy with foot traffic. That when I started working at BS West and I realized that everybody from BS West went over to Coach House.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever saw the parade, I've never seen this parade.
Sure.
Oh.
And the Coach House is pretty much on Indian School at the exact same spot where Taco Bell is on Thomas. So mm-hmm. I've been about 100 feet from that parade about 50 times. Never saw it.
Got
never,
it. Well, you were
never
busy.
Never saw one horse.
Sure.
But so it's funny. So when
that
I got there.
To challenge your math.
Yeah. Probably like 20 times all told. I was pretty close to there. But so it just became a fun thing to do was to go there for the AM. And back when we worked when I worked at the B and the S, that was a big thing, was that morning at Coach House. And that was the days that no one cared. You just drove there at 8 o'clock in the morning, or you stayed at somebody's house that lived nearby and you showed up. And
yeah.
Coach House has the pretty Christmas lights. If you go in, I mean, it's one of the fun dive bars of the Phoenix metropolitan. It's Scottsdale proper, but it's a fun dive bar. And it's always a fun day because, you know, 8 a.m. in the morning in February, it's always a, you know, sunny,
beautiful,
sunny 65-degree day, yep. Little crisp.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's trashed. Lovely. You go somewhere for dinner right there along Scottsdale Road. You go to BS West for a couple drinks, and then somehow you get home. No one's ever sure how.
But you made it.
It's a beautiful time of the year to come here, too, in February
for that.
Yeah.
Just don't stay in Scottsdale because the rooms are $1 billion.
Mm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Really need to clean out my spare room and Airbnb that shit.
Honestly, it's a good idea, and that's one of those weekends to do it. That and
the Open's happening this weekend.
Yeah, the Open weekend.
Mm. Are we done beating down?
I got what one happened?
Final. I have one final, and then we're on
bring it on
infotainment with Alfie here. We'll have this final story. A family in Haley, Idaho, came across a female moose in their basement this past Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm going to show you a picture of the moose in the basement right there.
Oh.
Apparently came through, smelled muffins that were in the basement.
Muffin smeller.
Pushed open a window,
muffins.
Didn't break the glass, and then came through a 3-foot deep window well.
Oh,
gentle giant.
Gentle giant. The moose pushed her way through. Said amazingly enough, the window didn't break. Officers from the Blaine County Sheriff's Office, the Haley Police Department, and Bellevue Marshal's Office, and the Idaho Department of Game and Fish, every fucking person in the world was there, responded to the call. Initial attempts to herd the animal up the steps were abandoned. The Fish and Game website said after she charged the officer several times, like, well, fuck this. So they knocked her out. She fell asleep on
the
floor. Against a wall, against what apparently was a Bob Marley wall tapestry that you can't see in this picture.
Sad.
Once she fell asleep, officers brought in like a
sling,
kind of a sling,
from
and they
the upstairs bedroom.
They put her in it and then carried her outside. She woke up groggy and confused, and then went on her way. But I thought that was funny. Remarkably, a cow elk pulled the same move in the same region of Idaho back in 2015. So apparently, there's a family of them.
Just so that you know, I mean, that ties to right now as well, because according to Betsy, DeVos, you know,
it's grizzly bears, moose.
Oh,
we don't know what's going to break in here.
Everybody should
have a gun. Great.
That's why you have to have a gun.
I mean, but, according to the good man from Wyoming.
But wouldn't you just walk downstairs with your cup of coffee to your Bob Marley post and be like, am I in a Far Side cartoon? Because right. This feels like Far-sided. A setup for a Far Side cartoon, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'd walk downstairs and think it was Bullwinkle.
My absolute favorite is...
Hey, Rocky, look at here.
There's a lady of a Far Side cartoon on the phone.
Love it.
And in her That's window awesome. Is a giant eyeball. And the caption says, Madge, do me a favor. Look out the window at my house and tell me what you see.
That's funny.
Always made me laugh.
Based on what I'm seeing, it's not going to be good. I'm telling you that much.
Well, the view I got says no bueno. No,
ma'am. You're not getting anything good.
No, ma'am. All right, here we go with Alfie.
Only a couple of things. We have the Screen Actors Guild Awards that came out, the Producers Guild Awards. We have just a big death that was on our death den just to keep her alive for a long, long time. But she finally went into that good night. And, and then a TV show that we... What?
We had Valerie Harper on her death then.
No, remember we put Mary Tyler Moore on there too, to keep her alive.
Oh, I didn't remember. Sorry.
Just to keep her alive because we thought Rhoda was toast.
Oh, God.
It could have gone either way.
The Morgensterns, we thought it passed, but not.
Yeah. No.
My bad.
So, outlives her. Yep. So we'll start with that, and please find some version of that song that you can delete later when YouTube fucks us. We do not have any copyright, and do not pretend to own anything from MTM Enterprises. There, that might help. Yeah. Maybe that'll keep them from fucking us. And not one of the young and needlessly, like 2016 was doing. This was a woman with a very full life.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and
marriages,
a medical
history, well managed. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you make it to 80 with diabetes, you're doing okay.
Yeah. I feel good about it.
Yeah. A big crusader for juvenile diabetes and testified in front of Congress, did the whole shebang, really kept awareness up on that. Because I always say, just make sure somebody's... this is the first season one.
This is the first season?
Yeah.
Did it get better?
It changed, yeah.
It changes.
If you might make it after all, goes to you. You're going to make it after all.
We're going to get
they renewed the
probably.
Show, and so she was going to make
might
it.
Just make it after all. Dun, 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 dun.
That's the part that I have choreography all worked out. So
shocking that you do.
Startling.
Just a fun career. And one of the things that I learned from my 9 million tributes that I, and we're talking about Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Just because we never said her name.
Right.
One of the fun things was she was raised in Brooklyn, but she was raised by English professors.
Yes. That was an interesting thing.
And that is why she didn't have a Brooklyn accent, because her family insisted she speak properly.
I thought that was a great story.
And so she, but she could do it. She could throw herself into that Brooklyn accent, and it was what?
So she could have been Rhoda Morgenstern,
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, totally.
Wow.
So just a fun career. Became a dancer, got into dancing, and was the dancing hot point,
the flame
appliances. She was the flame.
Whatever it was,
and danced that around, and then she was on a TV show that I never remember the name of, the private detective show. Where she was the person answering the phone. She was the Susie Diamond, I think it was her character's name. And they never showed her. They only showed her legs. So that was the big scandal.
Oh, just her voice?
It was just her voice, and they showed her legs. Because she had fantastic legs.
Yeah, she really did. Yeah.
You glossed over a little bit. The reason she got into dancing was to escape the horrible home life she had.
Oh, yeah. Mother was an alcoholic and...
Was it stepfather or something was abusive? Something else was going on?
Turns out, as we're reading about Joan Crawford, because of the feud that's coming out, very similar upbringing to Joan Crawford, except for Joan Crawford was from San Antonio, Texas, and took speech lessons to get rid of that. And I guess when she was drunk, she would go back into her Texas twang.
Oh.
So it was just similar to read that they both became dancers to like kind of escape, and both went to, you know, well, you didn't have to go that far. You're already in New York, but she just...
Sure.
So did the Dick Van Dyke Show with no experience. They just liked her at the get-go.
And what a great pair.
Mm-hmm. And she said she just wasn't a funny person. She never saw herself as a funny person.
But her timing was perfect.
Right,
she was so good at that.
But she was good at it, and she learned from the master. She said she went to the master school of comedy with the people that were on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Well, and her facial expressions and timing. I mean, she really was fantastic.
And as it turns out, it wasn't just me that dreamed of being the single girl on the go. Right. It was like half of the world and almost every person in broadcasting right now of a certain age attributes her to being in the newsroom.
Yeah.
And the fact that she did the Dick Van Dyke Show, and then when she went to get her own show, that they fought to make her, because she was supposed to be divorced.
Right.
And she was herself approaching 40. Now I can't think if that's true. She was born in what year?
36.
36. So she was 34 years old when the Mary Tyler Moore Show started.
Playing
and they made a big deal about her being 30.
Okay.
So she was supposed to be her own age and divorced.
Okay.
And they made her lower the age and
be engaged
and
or
be
had
a broken engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that she hadn't divorced Dick Van Dyke. And it just what turned into one of the best shows on TV. And just a wonderful woman. And then she, in 1980, in one of my favorite years for Best Actress, she was nominated. She lost, but she was nominated for Ordinary People.
Oh,
I was hoping to find out, but the TCM page hasn't been loading since we've been here. But 30 Days of Oscar, just find Ordinary People and watch.
And we've said that for
movie.
A long time.
I
we've
wish
said
that
from the get.
I've not seen that movie. Yeah. I know that's a shock, but I want to. But what I didn't know is last Sunday at two local theaters, they played it at noon
because
Buddy and I ran into Buddy and he wanted to go see it, but he woke up too late. Like at 12:15, they showed it last weekend in the theater. I'm like, well, hell, I would have gone to that.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. And it really is one of the best movies ever made in one of the best years for a movie because it's against Raging Bull. And the list of Best Actress nominees that year, which is Coal Miner's Daughter, Ellen Burstyn for Resurrection, which is, you'll never find that movie. If you do find it on cable, do not hesitate to watch it. Goldie Hawn and Private Benjamin. I mean, it's just
fantastic
movie after fantastic movie nominated that year and for Best Actress. And she is incredible in a role that you're just not expecting out of Mary Tyler Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And just... it's so dark. And it's one of those things wherever you saw those families that always look so good on paper, but then, you know,
pull the curtain back.
Son's gay, the girl's anorexic, dad's cheating with the secretary. Like, it just pulls the curtain back, and you find out, like, and there's a scene where she, like, just beats up a piece of French toast that Doug still states is his favorite scene in that movie because it's so powerful. And it's, but, I mean, just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think, if I'm not, I could be mistaken on this, I didn't research it thoroughly, but I think Mary Tyler Moore had a little resurgence in the early 90s because Nick at Night got the rights to it.
Okay.
After it playing all over the place, like on a personal note, I watched the Mary Tyler Moore Show when it was really on and then caught the earlier ones that I didn't remember because it was playing simultaneously in syndication already.
Okay.
So I saw like the last 3 years that I remember and the first 4 years in syndication that I may have been watching him, but I don't really remember.
Right.
So it was just a big, just that show was just a part of my growing up. Like we watched it every Saturday. We piled with the Carol Burnett Show and Bob Newhart and Love American Style and all the Odd Couple. They were all on the same night. You just sat down and watched it because that's funny as shit.
Bob Newhart said that was called Murderer's Row because with all of the shows that were on that night, because you had Carol Burnett, you had Newhart, you had Mary Tyler Moore. There was
The Odd Couple.
There was something else, but he—that's what he called it. For some reason, they called it Murderer's Row Thursday night.
If you watch MeTV, I think on Saturday nights, MeTV plays the actual lineup.
Oh,
they play, and sometimes it would pair with. Sometimes it was Love American Style. I think that came on when like Carol Burnett was in repeats. They would go to Love American Style.
You know what's odd about that? I was too young. I don't remember ever watching it, and I bet my mom did. Watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but one of the spinoffs from that show was Lou Grant.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I remember as a little kid, I loved the show Lou Grant. I don't know why, I just loved it.
Yeah, me too.
He always figured stuff out, and it was always investigation stuff.
Really well done.
I loved that show.
Mm-hmm. So, it was really well
And it
done.
Holds up well. So in the early 90s, Nick at Night saved it from like scattered all over, and they put it on, and they did a marathon that I taped. And so I watched, and I thought I, in my mind, I had watched all the seasons. I didn't.
Right.
But they had highlighted a few from each season. And I watched it up until Rhoda leaves, and they don't explain where she went. She's just not there in
season
5.
And that was another spinoff, Rhoda.
Right.
Yeah, and she went and had a successful show that we all watched, but they don't in the Mary Tyler Moore show, except for she went on vacation to New York and didn't come back.
Okay.
It's not really explained, but I went on a trip. My first trip to San Francisco is I'm getting on a plane, and I had just been up all night watching Mary Tyler Moore, and I was like, got on the plane, like still sniffling, and my friend was like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, Rhoda's gone. And she's like, you know she got her own TV. I'm like, I know, but she's not with Mary. It's not the same. And I was despondent. And I still to this day, I own the first 4 seasons of Mary Tyler Moore. I own the 5th season. I can't break the plastic on it because I just can't watch it without Rhoda. Like, it just breaks my heart that Rhoda left because she's the best friend. And it's I like went to see if I had later than the 4th season. Still in the plastic. But you know what it is open? The Mary and Rhoda TV movie.
Oh, I love it.
Because all that happened around the same same couple years. But the Joan Jett did.
And she married Joe, didn't she?
Yeah, she married Rhoda Joe in the first season. Joe. And then that show fell off. Yeah. That show fell off and became really terrible fast. Yeah. But yeah. the first season of Rhoda is amazing. Phyllis had her own show.
Here's Phyllis.
And
here's
Sue Ann Nevins.
And Sue Come Ann Nevins. On. And that's the only thing. And I've only ever seen that in repeats. I've never actually sat because I can't watch them. But Chuckles the Clown is there.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Which I saw when it really aired. And as a child, almost pissed my pants.
Funny. Totally. Funny.
And they said that was real. That her laughing.
She had to do it twice.
Like her laughing and stuff. Like she was really struggling.
Yeah.
Like, and she couldn't help it.
And because the jokes leading up to the funeral are fantastic. Just, that show hits from beginning to end. That one I've seen.
And that's on
Netflix
right now. On Netflix, the entire thing is on.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Mom and I just sat there and watched, like, 6 episodes, and we're like, gee,
well, if you
I
didn't,
have to go to bed.
If you didn't hear or watch any of the tribute shows, which I know he did, when they wrote the script, they literally were 5 minutes short. But when they did it with all the jokes, like in the newsroom, when he comes out and tells them that Chuckles had died, and all the little things that happen,
because
there's
pauses,
laughter.
The pauses are what's so brilliant.
And then they get
they
to
all
that.
Have to think about it, like. Right.
Well, and Ted Baxter.
Do you think he would have lived if he was dressed as a gorilla? Or no, if he was dressed as
a banana.
No, a rogue gorilla would have peeled him to death. Like, and the jokes just fire, and it's still listed as the funniest episode of television ever. And you can't. You just can't get past
it. I'm watching it tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, Chuckles the Clown. And it really. There's an episode of Cheers where
a little
Carla's husband, a little song.
A little dance, a little seltzer down your pants.
It's so fucking wrong. But dirty Sue Ann was.
Oh, Sue Ann Evans. Awful.
When she says being fired is like being violated, and she's like, well, you would find the silver lining. I mean, it's so fucking wrong.
Well, and there were, when we were watching it, because of being from Minnesota.
It's a funny joke.
Because of being from Minnesota, we were watching the downtown, and my uncle used to work at the Dayton's that showed in the clip.
Yeah, the big department store.
And Mom actually, I think, did as well. And then Donaldson's, and remembering like going down there and shopping when I was a kid. So that was kind of fun just to watch that opening. But then I said to Mom as we were watching, I said, I wonder if you're down there and you're, and I rewound it and I froze it. And I said, like, if you're that lady, I said, I wonder if you're like, holy shit, I was played over and over and over.
And she did. And the lady that turns her head when she throws the hat in the air, they had a big obituary to her. They had tributes to her.
Oh.
Because there's a lady that just turns and looks like, what the hell are you doing?
So I was looking at a bunch of different things because I was trying to figure out who the little girl was, the Bess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how do we not, did we not see her? Mom said, I'm sure that she was in something. So as I'm on there and I'm looking at everything. Number 8 out of 15 awfully big facts about the Mary Tyler Moore Show is that Hazel Frederick was seen in every single episode of the series. Hazel who? Picture it. It was a cold, blustery day in downtown Minneapolis in 69. And they go through this thing. And she had been out doing her shopping at Donaldson's department store. Exited the store, proceeded across Nicolette Avenue, which, hearing all this,
yeah,
it's like,
so
oh my
crazy.
God. One of the busiest streets in the city. She noticed an attractive young brunette walking ahead of her into traffic. The woman suddenly stopped and gleefully tossed her hat in the air. That brunette was Mary Tyler Moore and a film crew using hidden equipment in order to be unobtrusive and keep the scenes more natural, was recording her hat toss from the opening credits of her upcoming new show. To make it more realistic, traffic wasn't halted, and Mare had to negotiate her own way across the street for that famous freeze frame. And it's Hazel Frederick between the James and the and in the background.
Yep, so, and that's her. Right there. And that dirty look yeah. is in every
like,
single
what is
episode.
That woman doing? Yes.
Like, and they found her. They interviewed yeah. her. She became a semi-celebrity. And into the night, Nick at Night interviewed her. That's where I found out her
oh,
name.
I love it, yeah.
Because when Nick at Night brought it back, they made such a big deal of we own Mary Tyler Moore.
Yep.
And I think they got the whole MTM library. I think they had the Newhart show for a while too. And they did Hill Street Blues, they did Lou
yes,
Grant, they did Saint
right.
Elsewhere. They had multiple yeah. Emmy winners under their belt.
Yep.
But it was just a joyous moment, and they had told her it was gonna be cold. Be ready. We're gonna film outside and have you walk around Minnesota. We're not gonna do this on the lot. We're gonna do this and it's really cold. Mm-hmm. So she brought a hat she liked. And they just said, like, what do you feel like doing? And she just liked it. She was having so much fun because they had it hidden and no one realized who she was.
Right.
And she just threw it up and she, you know, it was just a fun thing. Like, I'm in the big city. That's like she did it as an actress. And it was such a nice moment.
And now there's the statue.
Dun, dun,
there's
dun, dun, dun. I mean, you just can't stop the choreography.
There's a Mary Tyler Moore bronze statue that's
like
downtown Minneapolis.
And they brought it
Nicolette
inside.
Avenue.
Yeah, they brought it inside.
And it's outside again on Nicolette Avenue. And they did a special thing. And I was going to send it to you where ton of people went down there
and sang and
threw their hats in the air.
Yeah,
it was
so
wonderful,
charming.
And I got a little teary about it.
I mean,
that.
I wanted a sofa couch, and I got one. The first time it was like my place with my furniture, I wanted a sofa bed because Mary made the sofa bed look so glamorous. And
that's
she
true.
Did that sofa bed, and I almost bought an M for Missy at the antique place at 7th Avenue and Indian School. But I was like, oh, that's such a stretch, though. Would people get what I was, you know what I mean? Because I was going to put, should I put a M and an A for Missy L, or would it look like Ma? Like, would it look funny? And I didn't know what to do, and so I just walked away. I never made a decision.
The only other thing I found on this 15 things that I thought was really cute was that the MTM kitten, you know, right at the end, the little kitten, was found in a Minneapolis shelter. And I, for whatever reason, I just thought that was cute.
And for Aaron, I mean, one of the biggest animal rights advocates.
Yep.
Close friends with Bernadette Peters. They did the Broadway Barks in response to Broadway Cares.
Yep.
They always did the animal shelters. And after 9/11, they were the ones that set up the fund to go check on people's pets to make sure that people that had...
All the people that disappeared.
That disappeared, make sure their pets were taken care of.
Yeah,
so they followed up with the addresses to make sure there was someone to take care of the animal. So, I mean, she was just
good.
A genuinely nice person.
The kitten's name was Mimsy and lived to 20.
Oh, very
I
nice.
Love that.
Little
fucking
just,
little Mimsy. It really is, yeah.
And you would never, you just couldn't turn that show off. Like, you can't turn that show off till that kitten meows. Like, you sit through all the credits because they play the song again.
Yeah.
You know, and you get to see the cute little things at the end. Yeah. And then you get the kitten. Like, come on, people. I'm not made of stone.
I know. Anyway, so I didn't mean to hijack that.
No. I really
hijack away.
She belongs to all of us from that
era. I don't know what this show's even about.
It went into reruns while it was still in the air, like much like Friends and The Big Bang Theory is, and it was on like every afternoon. Yeah. So I would watch it every afternoon
Such
when I got home
show.
From school, and then I would Saturday night watch a new one. And I still, like, if you see me in the grocery store with my grocery cart, if I don't just bring my bag and I have the cart, I look at the meat and I toss it in and I do it. Sometimes I have to put the meat back because I have no intention of buying it, but I cannot help myself but pick up a package of meat and throw it in the cart.
Sure.
Or I do the Clary from Steel Magnolias, where she just does that little bounce with the cart.
Right. Pork and beans. Drum eats him with everything.
That explains a lot. We are not feeding him till the end of time. This is just a gesture. But every time somebody sees me with a grocery cart, I'm doing some kind of Mary Tyler Moore Steel Magnolias thing. Because I'm insane.
I love it. I absolutely
so
love
that. So speaking of TV, something that you can watch currently on Hulu that, thank God for the... Oh, and look at Meow Cal is here from Minnesota.
Hi, Meow.
Welcome aboard. And Joey's back from Trudeau Land.
Which is I love it.
Wonderful alternative
yes.
to Canada.
Yes.
The Barbara Saville reminded me of something that I had watched during that pilot shit that we talked
Difficult
about.
Difficult People?
Difficult People.
I love that show.
Oh, God, funny.
Holy fucking shit. I saw the first episode in that pilot thing like 2 years ago.
Billy What's His Fuck.
Billy mm-hmm. Eichner.
Billy on the Street. Sure. Yeah.
Billy on the Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the pain in the ass woman that she crazy ex-girlfriends because yes. she writes it, she produces it, it's created by her. That comes from her sick and twisted mind.
Which I've been watching, I and that's them. Fucking funny.
Crazy ex-girlfriend? I know. I can't wait for the second season to appear somewhere where I can get it for free.
Did you get to the episode of Difficult People where they, like, rip off Hamilton?
Oh, no, not yet.
Oh, honey.
Oh, I honest
okay.
to God.
Do you have the subscription? Do you need my password?
Like, no,
you,
I haven't. Okay. And I had, honestly, because I saw the pilot, I guess it was made for USA or something. A long time
long ago. Sure.
Forgot about the show. I thought it was called something else. I thought it was called Awful People or something like that. So never really.
A valid title.
Never, because they truly are. But I've got to tell you, this is one of the funniest pieces of bullshit on TV right now. It's laugh out loud funny. They're absolutely horrible.
Here's what I know. I know, I'm pretty sure, if Sharon ever, like, kicks me out for good, I will, A, be that cynical, and two, will just move to New York.
Find those
and
two.
And find a gay, and just, like,
oh,
yeah.
And they have said the most horrible things about
for all of the horrible
so
things.
Many people. Yes. And it's one of those shows that you could tell, like, your eighth time through, you would catch another. It's like Veep. It's like the, like, you can't take it all in.
Well, because it's so many, like, rapid fire and some obscure pop culture stuff.
And they're horrible. When they tell the little girl that understudy is just a fancy word for disappointment.
Yeah.
I paid $120 for the seat. I'm going to say shit whenever I want to. And that's just the opening. But they, I mean.
Oh, and the mom, her mom.
Oh, Andrea Martin.
Yes.
Who knew that there was another level of funniness to Andrea Martin? Like, as funny as you've always thought she was, oh no.
Oh no.
She goes somewhere different and she makes a musical about herself as a therapist. And then she Ubers herself as a therapist because there's a lot of suicides at Christmas. So she does surge charging for suicidal calls at Christmas and tells people, you know, I'm shopping right now, so it is going to be 2.3 times your usual rate. I mean, it just, but the insults to famous people and their projects mm-hmm. and the shit talk they do about everybody.
Oh yeah,
it's unreal. I think I watched like 6 or 7 episodes last night, and I kept going like, go to bed, turn the, and I was like, I couldn't, like, I had to Stranger Things it. I literally had to cut myself off and be like, go the fuck, you're falling asleep laughing. And it was like any other funny show that I watched, and I'm kind of like, yeah. Of Difficult People. Hulu, it's worth your whole thing. Plus, you're going to get the last couple seasons of the Mindy Project, so how are you going to lose?
I recently just upgraded my my Hulu subscription. It was too cheap to go all the way to $12 a month.
I may have to, because those commercials were brutal.
Had to do it. I Guilty Pleasure TV came back, so Nashville is back, Grey's Anatomy, like all of the Shonda Rhimes mind fucks are back.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, first episode of Nashville, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I can't even keep track of the horrible drama that's happening on the TV.
There's an
because of the commercials.
There's an insurance company that advertises only on Hulu. I've never heard of it outside of Hulu. But by the end of last night, I felt like I worked for that company. Because I'd watched their shit so much.
Yeah, I finally had to. But the good news is, if you're in the middle of a show, and you go online and upgrade, and then you just have to close the app and reopen the app, bam, you're in business. Oh, no more commercials.
And I love it
because
it's on my big TV, because it's one of the apps on my Blu-ray player. Oh, my God. I have I was crossing my legs because I'm like, oh, God, I hope there's a commercial because I'm going to pee my pants in about a minute. I can't remember what celebrity that I actually like, and they just ripped them to shreds.
Because they have no shame. They hate everyone.
They hate everyone.
Everyone.
But he's... So as they show a thing...
They've gone after Bernadette Peters. They've gone after Hamilton. They've gone after everyone.
Episode where they're late to see Annie. And they're being like... dodged by people, they're being bothered by people in the street, and the one guy goes, would you like to give to gay rights? And he's like, I've been giving all the time to diminishing returns.
That's where it comes from.
Oh, painful, painful, painful. So that's your show to watch. And then so we'll start with the most political thing I have watched since the election, and that was the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Good on them.
Which opened with Ashton Kutcher just going off the rails and telling the Orange Dumpster Fire to go fuck himself, and then
we're not being punked.
No, I was no. so disappointed.
And then, like, turns his voice, he goes, and in other news, welcome to the Screen Actors Guild Award. Like, he went on a rant.
That's fantastic.
And it was winner by winner by winner that went up on stage and just went, oh, I wonder if you could find the Stranger Things win.
Yeah.
Find that. See if you can find that on YouTube.
Not playing it.
No.
We will get nailed.
No. Not the Stranger Things. The acceptance speech for Stranger Things.
I understand that, but that's also part of the Screen Actors Guild, and they're going to nail us for it.
Okay.
I could probably get still shots.
Find it.
Can you reenact it if I give you still shots? Can you?
I really
only couldn't. Probably only Winona Ryder's
I
face.
I could probably do all that. The
are
many
we
faces
the Winona Ryder thing? Can we do the Winona Ryder thing?
Let me find that gift.
Find the gift. Acting class, all in one thing.
We don't know what was happening. My favorite is see if you can find the one with the pizza in it.
I've seen that too. Yeah.
See if you can find the pizza one, because that's my fave.
Just crazy. So, performance by a female actor in a drama series, Claire Foy for The Crown, which we've drank all the Kool-Aid on, and we're all on board. We're good. I wish there was a little bit more love, and I think we have to wait for the Emmys for the actress that's playing Princess Margaret, because I think she is outstanding as Elizabeth's sister.
I don't know. That's really hard to, because it's uncanny the way that they've filmed her, Elizabeth, what's her name, Foy?
Yeah.
Like, the way that they filmed her, the way that her voice sounds, the way that she just stands, like, it's really uncanny.
And the subtle aging, the way that they're aging her with just a stroke of gray or one wrinkle to let you know that 3 weeks has passed.
Like, I'm weirdly obsessed with the monarchy.
Yeah.
Not to the point that I've memorized all of them, but anything that comes up about British monarchy, I'm like, oh, I'm in. I'll sit down and watch this whole fucking documentary. I don't care.
So,
oh,
it is funny. So you've got this.
The pizza one's my fave.
But she...
and the dude that's just holding her down.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
more pizza.
Wait, more pizza. What the?
She's watching. She goes, oh. And then it goes right into his mouth. Woo!
Wobble! And a pizza. What?
And when you were watching it live, you couldn't not watch it either. Like,
oh my God.
Seriously, you couldn't keep your eyes up.
Has there been any statement as to what the fuck was going on with her?
They said
that I had heard.
Oh, no, they did, because if you watch the backstage press, they all go backstage and they do two press conferences. First is the adults, then they do the kids. Yeah. And the kids were much better at the press conference than the adults were.
How funny.
Only
David Harbour talked at the backstage press conference, who said he was sick. And he said that she was only vaguely aware of what he was going to say, and they said she couldn't hear. That a lot of them were going, because the applause was so loud and it's broadcast out, that the kids knew more, and that's why they were jumping up and down and screaming. They knew what he was reading, and she was literally like, what is, like, trying to hear him. Like, most of that is kind of like,
all right,
I can't see your face. That's what they, and they said it immediately, like, it wasn't like a couple days later. They walked backstage and asked about her facial expressions.
That woman is an actress.
Oh. And she's crazy.
She should have fucking, first of all, fucking act like you know what's happening when you're on a stage.
Right.
Second of all,
and it was genuine.
She looked like we did. Yeah. Remember when Clayton had the when we were in the other studio and there were all the bugs?
I wasn't here for that.
Yeah, there were the little.
The little
we probably looked just like her because we were like this.
As we're all looking around.
I mean,
and it really was funny to see how fast he said, like, without knowing, he couldn't see her. He was like, oh, did she make faces?
Oh.
And then one of the kids says, like, oh, I don't think she could hear what he was saying. And it may be hard to hear up there. You don't know.
I don't know.
Because the crowd definitely went nuts at one point, and they lost. The crowd loses their shit. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And they were genuinely surprised because, as we learn now, the winner of Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Drama Series went to John Lithgow. So if actor and actress go to The Crown, everyone assumed The Crown or Westworld was the runner-up for what everyone thought would win for Best Drama Ensemble in a Drama Series. So he had written this impassioned speech. He had told all the kids at dinner and the directors, the brothers that direct the show, what he was planning on doing. He said he tweaked it that morning with the refugees and the people in the airports. He had tweaked it a little bit, but he knew how he was going to say, like, Midwesterners in 1983 would handle it like this. So it was a genuine surprise. And you can tell from the minute their name is called that they're like, what the fuck? Did she supposed to say The Crown?
That just happened?
Or Westworld? So you can tell that Winona Ryder's off her game from the get-go. Like, when you see the... Because I wanted to back up. When I rewatched it on YouTube, I'm like, I need them to go back and say the winner. Because, you know, they're ready for... They have the five cameras in place for whoever wins. And you can see the look on their faces like, are we being punked? Because... The Crown's winning everything.
And Ashton's here. So.
And Ashton's here. So
in the house.
But as you watch, as the speech goes on, and the one boy, that the main boy, the one who it's his sister and everything, and Barb's friend is his sister, he's like jumping as high as David Harbour. He's so excited by the win. Like, it's so much fun. I kept being like, pan out, let's see all of them. But John Lithgow playing Winston Churchill. And for it's a 6 foot good. Four man so to be good. Playing a 5 foot like, two something, stupid. All with hunching and like... There's no special makeup. They just made his collar tight. And the fact that he can make himself somehow the similar height to Claire Foy, that, like, you're like, that's acting.
You almost never see them standing together. She's always sitting.
When he apologizes, he has to, because she starts that scene standing up to him, and then she sits down and tells him off. But she starts that standing
Does
up.
Does she start
that's
that
the only
standing?
Time I watched for it, too.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how are they going to get away with it? He's a foot taller than he should be. But that scene starts with them standing, and then
okay, like she one sits. Scene. One scene I can totally see doing it for. But I was thinking about it, and I'm like, wait, the rest of
but
them.
But he kisses her hand every time.
But she's sitting.
But that time
she sits the whole and every yeah. every audience
but that
they have.
That last one when she finds out she's betrayed when she tells him off. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a comedy series, a show that everybody has recently found. It's got to be on something besides Showtime. Because now everyone's hooked on Shameless. So it must be on Hulu.
So the first five seasons are on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. All right. I'm like, this had to have come up somewhere.
I plowed through that. And I love that it's in the comedy category. I plowed through that in like maybe a week. That should be on the list.
They've switched back and forth. He wasn't winning in one category. So he...
Who won?
William H. Macy.
Was it William H. Macy?
So he switched... He made them switch which category he was competing in.
Mm.
So I can't remember if in the Emmys they went from comedy to drama. It's an hour-long show, right?
It's an hour-long show.
So now, in the Emmy rules, they have to be a drama. There's no such thing as an hour-long comedy in the Emmys.
That's stupid.
So he may have switched back. I think it went drama, comedy, drama, or vice versa.
Yeah.
But so he won, but he beat Black-ish Anthony Anderson, who I really think should have won, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, who I really think should have won.
100%. Both of those shows are way more comedy than Shameless. Yeah. Shameless is like a dark... Have you watched it at all?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like dark comedy, like the most horrible shit that can happen to white people.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but
Seriously.
Now that I'm more caught up on Transparent, still not a comedy.
Not funny.
Not funny. Well done.
I haven't
done.
Watched the most recent season.
I haven't watched season three either.
Yeah.
But season two, funny. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role in one of the bigger surprises of the night, Denzel Washington, who's never won a SAG award and that was all over Gold Derby for the last 2 weeks, was that Denzel Washington for his two Oscars and everything else. Some of it has to do with his first Oscar. The SAGs didn't exist. They're only 23 or 24 years old. So... He doesn't have a SAG award. So now we have one more category out of the top six that went to something different. So Casey Affleck is the hands-on favorite for the Oscar, but Denzel Washington came in and won the SAG award. So a lot of times people are going to these awards places to find out who to vote for or find out what the odds are or find out trivia. Like, does Denzel Washington need a SAG award? Because Casey Affleck has something about molesting women or touching women inappropriately or some assistant on that really weird documentary he did about Joaquin Phoenix. Because they're best friends and they used to be in-laws.
Yeah.
Casey Affleck is separated from Joaquin Phoenix's sister, Rain. Might be Rain. Might be Spring. I don't know what her name is.
It's probably Fall. It's probably Summer.
Because Joaquin used to be Leaf. Joaquin's real name.
I think her name is Autumn.
Right, but Joaquin used to be known as, he's in Parenthood as Leaf Phoenix. In case you ever wondered, did Leaf Phoenix grow up?
Okay.
That's Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah.
Because everyone had a nature name. There was River.
Absolutely.
There was,
yeah.
I think her name is, now I can't remember what
Sagebrush,
I think it is.
Sagebrush, who knows?
Yeah, but everybody had a name like that. And I,
Starburst.
weird story. I was in a doctor's office in the 80s before anybody was famous and saw, in the early 80s, like my doctor in Niagara Falls and saw an article on vegetarianism, and the family on the front was the Phoenix family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they introduced kids with nature names. Yep. And
they were vegan.
Leaf. Yeah, they were vegan or something, and they were, and I was like, who the fuck are these people?
River
and then
Phoenix did a whole big thing about like with animals.
And then I saw River Phoenix in Stand By Me, and I'm like, well, okay, that's that kid from
from the cover.
From the Highlights magazine where I'm supposed to color.
From Highlights.
I fucking love Highlights magazine.
Goofus
and Gallant in the back.
Female actor in a comedy series. Julia Louis-Dreyfus wins. It's a shame in this category that Orange Is the New Black, that Uzo Aduba didn't win. But it's because I think, personally, that the last three episodes of that season were so sad and so serious. Mm. There wasn't a moment of comedy between what happens to Lori Petty when you find out how Suzanne got to prison, and then what happens to Pusey because of Uzo Aduba. Like, that was dark. Like, all of us needed therapy and handholding.
It was really
there was
hard.
Nothing comedy in that. Yeah. At all.
Good Lord, and summer's coming. There's going to be another season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Call my therapist.
Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda were both nominated for Grace and Frankie. The Lifetime Achievement Award to Lily Tomlin was presented by Dolly Parton, who was a fucking delight, and she stole, until Stranger Things, that show was all her. That was all you were going to talk about, was how funny she was. And in a weird twist, like 7 days before, 8 days before, Jane Fonda had been on
Bill Maher
for his birthday.
Predator.
And she really was starting to get sick. Like, she kept coughing. She kept not being able to finish her thought. And you could tell something was coming. And so a week later, when she wasn't there and they said she was sick, I was like, well, I just watched her a week ago.
Watched her get sick.
She looked like a bug was coming. I would have picked Ellie Kemper for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, just because I feel like Julia Louis-Dreyfus says, you've got enough awards. Sit down.
Right. Settle
Let
down.
Ellie Kemper have something for how funny she is.
Right. Incidentally, we were both right on the Phoenix sisters. There is a Rain and a Summer and a Liberty.
Liberty, that's the one I always forget about. And I think Rain is the one that was married to Casey Affleck. I think.
Stand by. Nope. Summer.
It was Summer? Okay. Yeah.
You had a 50-50.
Because the one day she was sitting next to him at an award show, and I'm like, why is there a Phoenix sister sitting next to Casey Affleck? And that's how I found out they're married.
And there it is.
Because of my shittiness.
Separated in 2006. Married.
Not because of your shittiness. You had nothing to do with it.
Well, it made me go look it up.
Okay. Because married in 2006, separated in 2016.
I realize you have a lot of power, but...
They just recently separated, and his speech was about how much he loved her and how much he owed to her as an actor and as a father.
And Highlights magazine.
So he was trying to get laid again. La La Land.
I don't think he's having trouble with that.
La La Land. Emma Stone wins for performance by a female actor in a leading role. And what makes this interesting is because the actress from Elle, Isabelle Huppert, is not nominated here. Mm-hmm. So now this is another category that's split.
Oscars kind of.
So what are the Oscars going to do? So we got to see what happens at the BAFTAs. But Emma Stone seems to be the Oscar that La La Land is definitely going to win. Anything else could be up in the air. But I think what they're going to do is they're going to be like, just in case somebody sneaks in somewhere else.
Because she was maybe my least favorite part. Like, I loved all of the movie.
Right.
But I think of all the things that I think, oh my God, this should win an award. Like, she's the bottom of the list.
But unfortunately, she's going to rise. She's the Silver Linings playbook of, like, we got to give
Son
it
of a bitch,
something.
That fucking movie.
But Amy Adams is not nominated for the Oscar. Natalie Portman, that seems to be fading away now that she didn't win here either. And Meryl Streep. There was the talk of, after all the politics of the Golden Globes with Meryl Streep, that the actors would maybe give it to Meryl Streep so she would give another political speech. But after how political this show was, John Lithgow, when he won, gave a speech about like inclusiveness and diversity, and he goes, and I would like to quote an underrated actress, and I would just like to say that 3 weeks ago she said everything I would have said, but more eloquently. Like, he just, they were just fuck Trump.
Backwards in heels.
Yeah. Wow. Female actor in a supporting role. This is the only category that, mark your cards, it's going to win. Viola Davis is supporting role. There's as beautiful as Nicole Kidman is in Lion, and Naomi Harris is in Moonlight, and the very small, tiny bit of screen time that Michelle Williams gets in Manchester by the Sea. Viola Davis, people. She snot bubbles like nobody else can. Male actor in a supporting role, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. There's some talk that he disappears after the first third of the film and he's not seen again, but so did Anne Hathaway in Les Miserables. You know, she's only in the first part. Sing, you know,
she dreamed a dream, though.
Yeah. And as they say, they say in Forbidden Broadway, I dreamed a dream that I wouldn't sing one song and die. So he,
well, that's why Patti LuPone likes playing that part.
Yeah.
Because she can go to the bar.
She can go to the bar and not show up to the finale. She's got 2 hours to drink in between her parts.
She did a whole shtick on that in concert.
So Mahershala gave a beautiful speech about the fact that he was raised by a Protestant minister, you know, the woman that raised him. He converted to Islam and is a Muslim. And the fact that they can still find each other and love each other despite having different faiths. And couldn't we all do that? And he did it all through tears. Acknowledged the black community that was involved with Moonlight, the gay community, the people that can't be their true selves, and the thought of, like, coming out as whoever you're supposed to be. Yeah. It was like,
well, and
leave me the fuck alone!
And his mom being a pastor.
Yeah, the mother being a minister, I mean, and his conversion, just, or what I said 5 seconds ago. But
I mean, didn't listen to it at all. I was looking for something else. Sorry. I thought that was really something.
It really was. It was. Sorry. I mean, the speech after speech.
I wasn't listening. I'm not going to lie.
Just beautiful.
We should listen to this show. It sounds interesting.
Every now and again.
Must be a good time. So, performance by cast in a motion picture.
4 years running. Yeah.
And what Doug described as the biggest surprise of the evening, I didn't find it that surprising, but Hidden Figures won for cast. And because it truly is, I think it's unfair to pick out Octavia Spencer from that bunch when all three women contribute and Kirsten Dunst is so good and Kevin Costner has such a strong role. And even Jim Parsons, even though he's playing Sheldon, this time it's personal. It really,
a darker Sheldon.
Electric Boogaloo.
And Mahershala Ali was in Moonlight, and he's in Hidden Figures, so he was nominated 3 times. Janelle Monáe is in Hidden Figures and in Moonlight.
I love her.
So it was cute when they were doing when they were showing the tables for what cast. Janelle Monáe ran over to the Moonlight table. Like, they said Hidden Figures, then we said Moonlight.
That's super
she
cute.
Ran over and stood next to Mahershala.
They had a segment on CBS Sunday Morning last Sunday, and I saw that about, they had a whole segment about a Moonlight. And it was really interesting to watch it because they interviewed the young man who plays the younger version. It was just a very interesting thing, and I didn't realize the story of that movie, and I really want, now I want to see it.
Oh, it's beautiful. But I mean, you really have to be ready for bullying because there's a reason why this kid is so tortured. Mm-hmm. It's because he just comes from a horrible place. But Janelle Monáe is just a ray of light in that movie, and the fact that, you know, She gets her award, and Hidden Figures was a wonderful, wonderful ensemble. It really was the best definition of that movie. Where La La Land, everyone was surprised it wasn't nominated, but after you get done with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, you're like, was there somebody else in that movie? Like, you can't even name a supporting character, like, except for John Legend.
Meh.
Who has a tiny role, and you could probably
That was a cameo at best.
And the person that has to engrave all these motherfucking awards was very excited when Orange is the New Black won again. It won as comedy series, and I have to give it to them because that really was the most effective season of a TV show. Those last 3 episodes, if you're not watching Orange is the New Black, what the fuck is wrong with you, first off?
And we don't want to know you anymore. Get out of our
life. But season 4, the last 3 episodes are so of right this minute today, mm-hmm. and what we're dealing with in privatized prisons, mm-hmm. and abuse and people doing the right thing for the wrong reasons and the wrong thing for the right reasons. And that is the toughest 3 episodes of 1 hour television I've ever watched. And I know that everybody that was watching at the same time with me at Facebook was all in need of therapy.
We were dying.
There's no possible way I can watch any of this. I can't even keep up with Mar and John.
Yeah, so you have to abandon the news.
There's so many. I can't. There's no way.
We're going to have to write a Dear John letter.
And I even DVR some stuff, and I get to that, and I still can't manage.
But you just have to have that one day, because you can knock out a season of Orange is the New Black in like a day and a half of like staying in my pajamas.
Like two solid days of pajamas and go fuck yourself.
I think I've wasted 1 week of my life on Orange is the New Black. Like, all together, it's been 1 week. And I make the pot of coffee, because at some point, Orange is the New Black turns the corner, and you're like, I just got to know what happens.
That becomes one of those that Sharon and I watch together. So then it's like three episodes a night, and we're... Within a week, we're done.
Stranger Things wins for Best Ensemble in a Drama Series, and one of the biggest surprises of the night, and one of the best speeches. If you have not, just go on YouTube and watch that speech, because it is inspiring and brilliant and spontaneous, and because they didn't know they were going to win. And just to see those little kids just jumping up and down with absolute glee. That for a while, I thought the guy from The Night Of, whose name I don't have, he was in The Night Of, he was in Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. He presents the award with Rashida Jones. And I've watched the clip so many times, I was like, was he in that somewhere? Do I not remember his role in Stranger Things? So we're almost done. Performance by a male actor in a television movie or miniseries. I think there was split votes. Oh, we're going to see his name. Riz Ahmed is the actor's name, who's in The Night Of. So they had four actors from two shows, and then they had Bryan Cranston in All the Way, and Bryan Cranston won. A lot of times it happens when you're splitting votes. Performance by a female actor in a movie miniseries. Does anybody think Sarah Paulson's just not going to win every award she's up for playing Marcia Clark?
Right. All the things.
Yeah, all the things. And that's it for that. The Producers Guild, only a couple of things here. La La Land wins, and Producers Guild nominates the same way that the Academy does, and they vote the same way. So they actually do preferential ballots. So you don't just pick who you want to win. You pick 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, I see.
And they go through and they keep eliminating until they got the person that has the most votes. So if everybody votes for Hidden Figures as their number two movie, Hidden Figures will probably win Best Picture. But so with that preferential ballot in mind, the Producers Guild picked La La Land.
Which quality film? I just don't think Emma Stone's.
But
you could have replaced her with any. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't feel like.
And I think that.
And I'm
Ryan
not the
Gosling
movie critic sitting in this chair, but I don't feel like Emma Stone was like instrumental to that movie. You could put any pretty lady there.
Yeah.
And it would have worked just as well.
And I think that's why Damien Chazelle from Whiplash is definitely guaranteed an Oscar, because you could substitute either one of those two. That movie is so well written. It could have been Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin, and you would have been delighted by the entire thing. Because it's not anything... It's just that movie is just filled with joy. It's more about the filmmaking than it is about the performances.
Yeah.
So La La Land gets Best Picture out of them. Zootopia gets Best Animated Feature. Documentary, O.J. Made in America. Long-form television, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Big year for O.J., as long as you're not O.J. outstanding digital series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which has been getting better.
I've enjoyed almost every single one of them.
And I'm not a Seinfeld fan. Like, Jerry gets on my nerves.
Yeah, but
it's not, to me,
I'm
it's
with
not
you,
him.
Kat. I'm totally with you.
No, you know, I think I've seen too much of his stand-up that gets on my nerves.
But this is so different
kind of like
where he's
his
just...
His voice is very...
Yeah, but this is him being himself and the conversation so much fun.
Yeah.
The Bill Maher episode, I like. Anytime he has a comedian I even kind of like, I'm like, this is... And Obama's was good.
Yeah, the Obama was genius.
The big shocker in this one is that Stranger Things won here, too, as best drama.
Interesting.
Yep. So, I mean, people are drinking the Kool-Aid with me on Stranger Things. Atlanta won comedy, which is the Danny Glover about the guy trying to be a rap star in Atlanta. I can't remember what network it's on. And Making a Murderer gets nonfiction television series, which is the first. I don't know if they just weren't up against all the shows on HBO, but because HBO at the Emmys won for like every single thing they did. They made up a new documentary to make sure they won. But they won an Emmy for the one about Robert Durst. They won an Emmy for the Scientology one, Going Clear. They won one for Making a Murderer. Like somehow there was enough documentary. Emmy awards available for them to win every Emmy award for documentary. And in a year that I'm like, that's justified. Because every one of those documentaries was like jaw-droppingly good.
Right.
But this Made in America, and now I haven't, unfortunately, the Made in America, I haven't seen it all as one thing. I've watched it all out of order. There's been an episode here, like I've seen it at like in the break room at work. I've seen it at home. There's been an episode on. because it was on ESPN last summer. So I saw one when I was like, just, and it's really, really well done. But now I want to watch it like all as one and find out like
all together.
Yeah. So that's it for awards and your TV shows and Difficult People. Seriously, I hate to recommend yet another way to spend your money on TV, but it's good. I think there's one more headlight here. Oh, the new CBS thing opens. Oh, no, I know what it was. Rachel Bloom is writing the music for the Flash Supergirl musical crossover.
Oh, I did see that.
And the CBS thing that Star Trek will one day be on once they get over all their fighting. The streaming thing starts with the Good Wife's sequel. The Good Woman, The Good Place, The Good Human, The Good Something or Other, The Good Fight. It's called The Good Fight.
Oh.
So if you're waiting for that Star Trek show to come on streaming, the CBS streaming, and I think their first week is free. I think the first week or the first month.
That's how everybody hooks you is, you know, drug dealers have been doing it for years. First one's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been kind of holding back on the CBS thing. The thing that keeps tempting me is, believe it or not, Big Bang Theory.
Listen, well, take it from someone who I wanted to do that, and I actually got the virus on my computer downloading it from Japan. Pay whatever money they ask.
Yeah.
But I have a couple seasons on DVD that I can loan you.
Yeah, like I have the first season digitally from unnamed sources, and I think that's it. I think I'm just first season. And really, I figured like the CBS thing would get me there, and or, believe it or not, the Phoenix Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got a lot of things.
Yeah, and
they have a lot of things.
Yeah, they really do.
I will say and I know I've said it before about Big Bang Theory, it's fun, it's light, it's mindless, and for some reason, Kelly Cuoco has the easiest job in television. She has there's no desire to make that character grow or change.
Right.
She got a haircut and changed jobs, but she just...
It's nerd funny, which appeals to me. It's long-running jokes, which appeals to me. It's nappable, which appeals to me.
Very nappable.
Nappable in my world means maybe I can sleep through an episode or two and not necessarily miss a lot of plot. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll miss a couple of jokes, but I'll probably still know what's happening when I wake up.
And it's 9 years of the same joke, and every once in a while, she has to sing their version of Smelly Cat to Sheldon so he can sleep, and Bob Newhart shows up. But it's charming.
All of those things I know.
It's charming. Yeah. It's got a charm to it that you can't...
Oh, and Modern Family is the other CBS one. Yeah.
It's ABC.
Are you sure?
Yep, definitely.
Whatever.
Absolutely, it's on the ABC Wednesday night lineup. But I will say, if you're going to get hooked on a CBS show, get hooked on How I Met Your Mother, because...
Oh, I've already seen all of it.
Oh, okay. Because that's all heart.
Every episode.
Well-written stories, the character
development. They needed to delete the very last episode. They needed to stop at the second-to-last episode.
Oh, I cried so hard, I don't even know.
They didn't need the like coming back
the
together
denouement.
And finding them out. Right.
Yeah.
Good Lord, it's late.
I know.
Entertainment.
Are you done?
Holy shit, yeah.
Got it, good.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Or two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of frazzled two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole ass one thing.
Kat Carlson, ladies and gentlemen.
And yet here I am half-assing two things.
Oh, I like it.
All right.
We blow.
So I have two things. They're actually somewhat related right now. The first thing is going to be a little disturbing to one of our cast members. It's an article. It's a blog entry entitled "Is Rachel Maddow Becoming a Liberal Glenn Beck?"
Well,
I know. Brace yourself. It's going to be okay.
I'm sitting right here.
He's tensing up.
Can I ask you a question before you start this?
Sure.
When did you find this story, and how long have you been sitting on it?
Okay.
Because I have a feeling that you knew this.
Actually, no. No, this story was just posted yesterday.
Oh, okay, all right.
And actually, the same episode that's being talked about here kind of struck me as odd as well. Okay, so this the blog post is from a very reputable source, antiwar.com.
Okay, I'm gonna write this down.
Right, we don't give a shit because it's an opinion piece, right? And we should. Like, open our minds and realize that this is just somebody's point of view.
Their opinion is wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. Their
opinion. I really believe.
And that's fair.
I need to check and see if she's seen my tweet yet. Mm-hmm. I'll check later.
Right.
In any event, so this is somebody's blog post. This is somebody's just unsolicited opinion that they've thrown out there on the internet, and somehow it came to me.
Okay.
Right?
Somehow.
Due to the magic of the internet.
Uh-huh.
The interwebs, yep.
Right. So the blog post starts out, it says, when Rachel Maddow finished a 26-minute monologue that spanned two segments on her MSNBC program last Thursday night, her grave tones indicated that she thought she'd delivered a whale of a story, but actually, it was more like a minnow. Convoluted and labored, Maddow's narrative tried to make major hay out of a report from Moscow that a high-ranking Russian intelligence official had been dragged out of a meeting, arrested, and charged with treason. Weirdly, Maddow kept presenting that bare-bones story as verification that Russia's President Vladimir Putin had directly ordered the hacking and release of Democratic campaign emails in order to get Donald Trump elected president. It goes on, blah, 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 attacking. But I think there's actually something really important here in that while Rachel Maddow is an intelligent, qualified, you know what I mean, wonderful person, she's also really kind of slanted and really kind of on her own agenda, right? And you can kind of see it on her show. She's not – I don't think that she's coming from a very she's not even trying to veil, like, unbiased.
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, right. Not even a little bit.
She's
right.
Not coming from that place. Mm-hmm. So, like, to think of her as news is tough.
No, she's right? Not news.
Because while she tells a great story, while she has a lot of factual things behind her, while she's on an alleged news network, and while we love her, I'm not saying that we don't love her, and I still listen to her every day. She's my most listened
Cat's
to thing.
Cat's afraid of you right now.
No, and I'm not.
Both hands are right here, just so you know. Maybe both hands, I'm just...
Is this my
car? Hey, I'll keep this open. I'll keep the lane. I'll keep
How do you feel
open.
About Cleveland?
Go on.
No, but I know us at the table are really immersed in current events, right? And I think that we're all cynical enough... Mm-hmm. Right? To kind of question things and to push off things that don't feel right.
Oh, and I don't doubt for a minute that there isn't a spin being put on something coming from her.
For sure.
I just happen to like that angle.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm
good with that spin.
Yeah. I typically agree with her viewpoint too. It was really funny, and this caught my eye because I was thinking the same thing about that Russia episode, because I was like, well, okay, I'm listening, and I'm like, well, that's really weird. I wonder what's going to come out of this, and did what she kind of... what she kind of encourages you to do all the time, and she says, watch this space. And so I just kind of like filed it away, and then it came back for a second segment. And it's like, what? Are we short on news this week? Like, what's going on?
Is this the episode where she went through the entire, like, the hotel and all of the recording stuff and everything from Russia? Like, was that the episode?
It's the one with the guy being dragged out of the meeting.
Yeah, yes. Same one.
Yeah, so it was two segments and all
bagged
really...
bagged his head, dragged him out, haven't seen him in months.
And it felt very... and this guy's not wrong. It felt very conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt very...
I agree with that.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's an important point to bring up, because some people that we're kind of looking to and leaning on for news... are going to have their own agendas and their own conspiracy theories, right? And yeah. I know, like I said, here at the table, we're all cynical enough that we're like, wait a minute, that smells like fish.
But if I'm not mistaken, and I would have to go back to the actual show, I think that she prefaced the whole thing with, like, this may be out there, but follow me. This may come back later.
Sure.
I think she prefaced it with, I'm not defending. I saw the whole slant.
And
I think she was cautionary to be like, this isn't gospel, but follow me through this and see if you think what I think.
Right. And I'm not trying to put Rachel Maddow specifically on trial, because I look at a lot of things that I read and believe in. And then I take a second and I think, well, wait a second, because there's an entire other segment of the population that believes that this is the cuckoo crazy,
right?
And that theirs is right. At what point, right?
But I don't think she presents herself as news. I think she presents herself as a lecture on a political class. Not a political, what's the word I'm looking for?
That's a
politics class. I feel like you're getting a lecture on politics.
Yes.
Not so much news, unless she says, I have breaking news. I think she announces when...
She does do that.
I feel like it's unfair to perhaps the less nuanced viewer to be both.
Oh, I think that's true.
I think that's 100% unfair.
And that's the problem with Fox, is they think Sean Hannity is news.
Right. And I've been screaming at literally everyone who will listen, turn off the cable news immediately, all of them.
But I think everyone knows that when you're the counterbalance to Sean Hannity is, or Bill O'Reilly, is her show or Chris Matthews. That's not news. That's mostly opinion shows.
Yep.
The news is much earlier in the day. Yep. After 7 o'clock, you're in the wasteland of the only people trying to do news and failing is CNN, because they're presenting a story with two sides arguing like there's equal sides to the story.
Equal, right.
Where I think of, and that just to me, and I'm going to interrupt you one more time, because Samantha Bee.
I think you're
just
interrupting yourself at this point.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a valid.
That's a valid point. Samantha Bee.
Full circle there, Al. Full circle.
I've just decided to weed blow.
Shut up.
Because my wine's not gone yet. Samantha, because I've been taping everything, but I just have not had the courage to watch it yet. I just can't face politics. Well, I'm back. Politics are back. So I'm catching up on Samantha Bee. So I made it through December, and she had Glenn Beck on at some point in December or January, and Glenn Beck is on there with what seems like a little bit of a white flag surrendering, saying, you're turning into me. You're screaming and yelling with conspiracy theories like I used to, and you sound crazy. Maybe we can meet in the middle. And my problem with this is that, yes, that does sound, and especially since you just presented it the same way, which is dinged in my head like a bell, because at the end of his segment, he was making comparisons, and because I've watched it, because somebody told me to watch Glenn Beck's thing on George Soros, and you'll find out the real truth about the Democratic Party.
Soros is really just financing everything that ever happened.
Right, but what it was presented, his thing was about the, if you watched it, it's about the puppets, and it's all about the propaganda, and it's all about the Nazis, and making it seem like George Soros is this fascist thing coming in, which is kind of bullshit, but if you're coming at it from the other side, our side, and you're looking at, you're putting a ban on Muslims, you're causing travel bans, you're keeping people out with green cards, that is what we're screaming about.
Right.
So for Glenn Beck to go on Samantha Bee and can't we just be friends? Do you have to be as crazy as I was? Is kind of rings really false.
Sure.
In the way that, you're being like us. Well, your side was wrong. Obama didn't take your guns. He didn't put a ban on anybody. He wasn't trying to put
Twain law.
Yeah, Sharia law. All the things you were screaming about that was next never happened. But we're in day 8, and it is happening.
It's actually happening, right?
So that's why I find that thing is, I think these people are sending little missiles of remember how crazy you thought our side was? Well, now you're doing it too. It's like, but your side is doing the things that our side wasn't doing. We didn't come for your guns. We wanted
Just a reminder, we got 10 minutes for whatever you're saying, and she's got another point.
Okay, so that's my argument against that, is that I don't think anybody really that knows they're watching Rachel Maddow knows that when she goes off on those 20-minute conspiracy theories, she's just giving you a lecture of information.
Right.
To me, that's just a smart person talking.
Well,
compared to Sean Hannity.
But it's not a really big leap from...
Oh, no, it's not at all.
A smart person talking about things that might be happening to a dumb person talking about things that might be happening.
So
it's not a really big leap. So you have to still be the custodian of your own information.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree that that's not news.
And with that in mind, we're 8 days in? How many days are we into this bullshit?
11
10
days.
11 days.
11, right.
11 days, and probably, if you're as immersed as we are, you're probably starting to feel a little bit fatigued, mm-hmm. right? A little bit overwhelmed, a little bit whatever. And I cannot say this to enough people, and I will just keep saying it probably for a couple of months. Eat a good breakfast. Clayton, why don't you have for breakfast?
I actually had an oatmeal berry smoothie.
That sounds lovely.
It was lovely.
The recipe's on the counter.
Peanut butter, a banana, some frozen fruits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's delightful. I'm not kidding. Like, eat a good breakfast because this is a long-term thing.
Yeah.
This is not... We're not going to win this by St. Patrick's Day. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, there's no winners here. There's only losers for kind of a long time. But we have to keep doing the right thing, right? So... With that in mind, there has to be a certain amount of self-care happening, right? You have to
not self-love, self-care.
Different.
All right. I want to make sure.
Different. Sure.
Not part of the Weeblow collection.
No. You need to eat a good breakfast, right?
Yes.
Which is kind of the not really a, it's all right. Pistachios mm-hmm. are good. There's
protein
and fats and things and pistachios are good.
Sure. That's nice. And no, things. So, you were part of the end things.
Who knows?
It's like Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, I'm beyond.
I see.
You're in the beyond.
Look at that. That's better.
You're in the upside.
I have your chart ready, by the way.
But with that in mind, I have here how to avoid being psychologically destroyed by your newsfeed. Mm-hmm. Ready? No. It's gonna be a quick and easy list. This particular writer.
Turn off the TV. Yeah. Done. Right.
No. Number one, recognize that there's a difference between being immersed and being informed.
Okay.
I've actually been immersed lately to the point that I think I have a reasonably severe shoulder injury from it.
Wow.
My neck hurts because I can't
kind of not
this.
Kidding because I'm really tensed in and hunched over on my phone all the time. And I'm pretty sure I have a really significant shoulder injury happening mm-hmm. because of it.
Well, fortunately, Obamacare can help you with that.
Maybe not.
Only until it lapses, because I'm fucking
right,
on
exactly.
Obamacare.
For a few more minutes. Yeah. Hour and a half.
Aaron, I want you to be patient, and let me get to my fucking point. Second of all, okay, recognize there's a difference between being immersed and informed, right? You want to be aware of what's happening, but you do not have to be plugged into Twitter and Facebook and all of the things 24/7. It's okay to turn off the CNN alerts, because they're just going to keep happening, and they're just going to keep being terrible. It's okay to check it in the morning and then go about your day.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you a terrible human. It doesn't make you uninformed. It doesn't make you uninvolved. It makes you a regular person who has other things in your life.
I have, I leave it on during Tuesdays for the day of the show because I figure if something happens, it would be topical. But I've found that I watch a little in the morning and then I do music all day. Otherwise, I'll stop every 2 minutes in that living room.
Because the next thing on your list is stick to your usual routines as much as possible. We're creatures of habit, and we find comfort in those habits. Like, we really do whatever the thing is that you do in the morning, whether it's the hour on Facebook that I do while I'm still in bed. Mm-hmm.
I can't do it laying there. There's no way I can.
Again, good for shoulder you. Injury. Can't even tell
Hi, Bobby.
You.
Bobby? Hi, Bobby.
So I just hold it like Bobby? This, and I scroll through in the morning.
Huh?
This one literally lays next to me near my pillow. Terrible.
I don't know.
I don't either.
The only Bobby that comes to mind... Is
like Bobby Gentry?
Why can't I think? No, not Bobby Gentry.
Fun Bobby?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can think of.
Bobby Hess?
Bobby Hess. Yeah. That's the only one I can think of.
Next,
one way or another. Hi, Bobby.
Yeah.
Hi, Bobby. Welcome.
Next on the list, look for opportunities to take action. Mm-hmm. But I will add like a little asterisk on that. But don't be overwhelmed because there are going to be more opportunities for action than you can actually
do. Right. I can't go to every march. So pick your march. Pick your battle.
Right. Pick your thing. And I was saying to somebody earlier, because they had actually tagged me in something about the executive order about... immigration and travel, right?
Okay.
And it was flattering because he was like, well, Kat Carlson's the encyclopedia of all things. Kat, is this true?
Right.
And so I had to respond with, first of all, I haven't read it yet, so I don't really know.
Cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah, give me just a minute.
Here's what, you know what I mean? Here's what I've read in other things,
right?
But I haven't read the actual document, so I don't really know for sure.
Okay.
And the other thing that I said in kind of that thread was I feel like right now it is better to be well informed on one thing than to be even slightly misinformed right. on 10 sure. things.
It's better to whole ass yeah. one thing
yeah. than half ass two things.
Look at you. It's a full circle.
Yeah. But that's so important to remember. Like, yeah. know what you're talking about.
Right. And be okay saying, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a minute.
It's super okay to say, I don't know. I haven't read the thing. I haven't seen that. I don't know anything about that. Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Sure.
Like, those are all okay things, because even if you are the you know, pillar of knowledge in your community,
John.
As I seem to be.
Wow.
I know. Here's that. I know. Thanks.
Stroke it.
Right there.
Stroke
right
the
there.
Ego.
I never toot my own horn. Gosh.
Yeah, never.
No, you don't. I don't remember. I don't recall a time.
I don't. I've never seen a horn.
No.
I've never
that
seen
that we blow. You know what I mean?
I've never seen the horn.
And then next on the list, along with that, allow yourself to feel all the feelings, right?
Yeah, definitely.
If you're scared, be scared. If you're angry, be angry. Sure. If you're happy, be happy. Sure. Like,
and
go for
if
it.
You're happy and you know it, clap yep. your hands.
Yeah. Not so much. And never
Al's
make,
not happy.
Never make a pretty woman no. your wife. I'm just
two, oh,
more,
there
two
you
more
go.
On the list, and then we can sign this bad boy off of that.
Excuse me.
Reach there out. Don't crumble in. There is nothing more sure. sad and isolating and like crippling than sitting alone in a dark room with right. internet access.
No.
Right? There's good nothing. Call. I mean, unless you're watching porn, and that's a whole different thing.
There's no
well, that's
sitting
whole,
alone
that's what
in your
the
room.
Internet is for, so I don't know what you're doing on yours.
But seriously, if you're just sitting there reading headline after headline
of gloom
right.
and doom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If all you're doing is reading headline after headline and feeling more and more hopeless, find people. Actual people in person, face to face,
and punch yeah. them in the face.
Well, maybe, maybe.
Well, I'm just going by 1983
and
rules.
And always
in the Midwest.
Plan bail.
Oh,
different good. People yeah. connect good. In different yeah. ways.
Yeah. Have a wingman,
right? Have a wingman. But seriously,
I'm Goose. I got
you
it.
You know, like it doesn't have to be super personal. You don't have to go pour all your feelings out. Just call somebody. Go have a drink. If you don't want to talk, go see a movie. If you're hungry, go get a meal. Like, the human factor is going to save us all.
Watch the documentary 13 on Netflix.
Do that. And then call Al.
Yeah.
And the last one, for people with children or with children in your lives, talk to children. Like, don't mm-hmm. shut them out either. Right? Right? Because they could be
absolutely.
Even more scared
well,
than
they
we are.
Well, they sense your fear.
Right.
Yep. Right.
Because they look to you for stability, and if you're not stable, they're like, oh, dear God, the whole world, it's all coming to an end. Everything uh-huh. is.
Well, then you realize, like, oh, it's kind of like the flight attendants on mm-hmm. the airplane. You know what I mean? If the flight attendant is scared...
Are they running around like this?
Freak the fuck out,
and
right.
if the adults in your life are scared, guess what? Those kids are going to sense that, and they're going to be like, something ain't right.
Right.
Something's no. coming, right. something
but, like,
bad,
listen,
something
listen
bad.
To the little voice inside. If the mm-hmm. little voice inside says, this doesn't feel especially right. true, do more work, right? Right. If the little voice inside says, we're really fucking scared, maybe we should cry, then go ahead, cry. Whatever.
Well, and the just very quickly, the thing is, when Aaron is saying, you know, if we stop watching things happen, I think paying attention and, like, watching that stuff and,
yeah.
you know, keeping...
Yes.
Keeping abreast of what's going on is totally different. Mm-hmm. And the
but
difficult
controlling,
part...
controlling how often it's hitting
right,
you.
Right, right, right. The difficult part of you know, if it even feels kind of off, the difficult part, the minute you said that, I'm like, every fucking part of this has felt wrong.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
sure.
so every
that's
single...
What makes it,
that's
what makes that's it
what
hard.
That's what makes it hard.
But you have,
you
have
like,
to...
That can't be real.
You have to identify, like, I need a break. Like,
right,
I've identified
right.
that within myself. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to the driving range and hit golf balls tomorrow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I turn on all of my...
With a hammer or yeah. actually like
no,
a
like
club?
Like actual golf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You never
and
know.
Every time just yell. Bless you. Yeah. Every time just yell or gazoon tight
scream,
or whatever
scream, grunt,
want.
Let it out, whatever you... Yeah. Sneeze. Whatever you got
to
yeah. do.
No, I actually greatly enjoy golf and I don't play.
You need
play.
To eat local organic honey. That's what you need to. That's what you need
story.
To do.
That's why I drink local beer.
Oh.
I feel like
hey,
maybe
I think
bees
that gets
got
you
in
the
there.
Same place.
It probably does.
Friends, take care of yourselves. We love you.
Yep.
We're going to make it. It's going to be a long time.
You're going to make it after all. There
we
you
might
there
it just is. Make it after all.
You never
all.
Know about these things.
You can turn the world up.
You can, Al. You can.
I hope so, because somebody's got to pay for this.
John Jay, Aaron, Missy Al, Mama Di, everybody in the chat room.
Pal,
thank you all for being there.
Joey from Trudeau
Land. Oh, Joey. Yeah, that's
Bobby.
Lovely. My gosh, so much going on. Guess what?
Brand was in there. We love you, Brand.
Oh, Brand, yes, hello.
You.
Welcome back.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will...
Love you.
See you next Tuesday. We blow.
That's a we blow.
Sorry, I got it wrong.
Different.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.